ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീൽ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായാപൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബിൾഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ്. നമോ വിഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാദ്. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം ഭവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോയത പ്രഭോ. നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയ. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിവി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ. പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതിതന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതീർഷദാം നമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊണിദാതൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി. നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി. ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ. വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമഃ. വരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസതാം പുരതോ മമ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതിരാധിയായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണിം ഭഗവതിം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനിം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണിം. നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഉല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത്. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല. അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവ. പാരാശര്യവചസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാഭൂതിദം. ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ്ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈ സാംഗപദേർക്രമൌപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ. ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. So, in this 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is called as Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yogam, the three divisions of faith, Krishna is saying, mainly five important things Krishna has mentioned there, is it not? Where Shraddha is required. These things improve the Shraddha Shakti or the power of Shraddha. Which are they? Devada, the deity we worship. Aharam, the food, what we take. Then charity, Dhanam, the charity we perform. And then what austerities, Tapas, what we do. And then Karmam or Yajnam. As it is called, yes. Karmam or Yajnam. So these five things normally which do not give much importance in our daily life, Krishna has given a lot of importance to them. Why? Because Krishna is saying that if these five things, if you take care, the Shraddha or the faith in Shastram and also in Krishna consciousness will improve. Krishna's point is that. And we have so far seen Devata as well as part of Aharam, food, isn't it? Krishna mentions there, Aharam Satvika Priyaha. Satvika Priyaha. Aharam's importance we have seen, so much we spoke about it. And we have seen that Aharam must be Satvikam. If the Aharam is not Satvikam, that if you come out of that, everything else will not go further. Whatever yoga system one practices, whether it is Bhakti Yogam or Jnana Yogam or Karma Yogam, irrespective of which yoga system one follows, this Aharam must be right. Aharam Satvika Priyaha. So, therefore, that we have seen so far, and now Krishna has started about the Rajasik Aharam. Aharam which is in the mode of passion and Rajasam. Katvamla Levana Atyushna Tishna Rucha Vidahina. Krishna says there. Then Ahara Rajasa Shyashta Dukkha Shogamaya Pradaha. You see, when Krishna spoke about Satvika Aharam, he said, Rasya Snigdha Sthira Hridya Ahara Satvika Priya. The four things Krishna spoke about, Rasya Snigdha Sthira Hridya, which we have seen. Rasya means juicy, Snigdha is fatty, Sthira means enduring, and Hridya means pleasing to the heart. Fourth things Krishna mentioned about the Satvika Aharam. Now, when he talks about Rajasa Aharam, he is saying that Ahara Rajasa Shyeshta Dukkha Shoka Maya Pradaha. They will create, such foods will cause distress, misery and disease. Krishna is saying, foods that are too bitter, too sour, salty, hot, pungent, dry and burning are dear to those in the moods of passion. Such foods are cause distress, misery and disease. So that is Rajasam. So Krishna says, Katvamlam ati ushnam, levanam ati ushnam. So ati katum ati amlam, ati levanam ati ushnam. Everything excessive. That is what. So he is using there that this word, he mentions that katu amla levana ati ushnam. Katu amla levana ati ushnam. Adi shabdaha, katvadishu sarvatra yojyaha. Adi kadu atyushnam adi tikshnam iti evam. Kattu amla levana atyushna tikshna ruksha vidahinaha. Ahara rajasasya ishtaha. Dukkha shoka maya pradaha. Dukkham cha shokam cha amayam cha prayachandi iti dukkha shoka maya pradaha. So, those who are in the nature of this rajasic food is that whatever taste they want from the food, they want it in excess. If it is acidic, they will like to have strong lemon taste, lemon, limey taste. Or if it is bitter, they will like excessively bitterness. Similarly, salty food, they will like excessively salty. Hot food, they will like excessively hot. Everything in excess. That's what Krishna is saying. Ati, everything ati. Katvamlam ati katvamlam ati kadum ati amlam ati levanam ati tishnam ati ushnam ati tishnam. Everything ati. Ati means excessive. It is not, Krishna has not mentioned that you can't have salt, but excessively salty. And similarly, excessively acidic, excessively hot. These are all rajasic nature. Krishna says, Katvamla Levana Atyushnam Tishnam Ruksham Vidahinaha. So, Katu means, there is an argument here, because generally they will say that this Katu means that ordinarily you will see, they will give a commentary about this, that which is very, very chilly or hot. or very bitter. But many commentaries, if you look in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see mentioned like that. And in the Ayurvedam, they have three things they have combined together. Three different ways they mentions there. For example, ginger and similarly chili, all of them belongs to this category, kadu, which Krishna mentions there, kadu. That kadu category belongs to. This is because whichever that creates this rajasic qualities in a person, that trikadu. Krishna is saying here, kadu everybody wants, but similarly amlam also everybody wants, ushnam also everybody wants, but somebody wants in excess of all these things. And similarly, food that is creating a lot of while eating, it creates much more strong effect in the mouth. Much a strong effect in the mouth. For example, certain food you can see like certain mangoes or lime. After you have pickled it for a long, long time, when you eat it, it is very strong in its taste, isn't it? That is what is called kadu. That's kadu. Amlam. Amlam is just like tamarind. Tamarind has got that bitterness, isn't it? And that is also kadu. It is allowed to have tamarind, but not excessively. So anything excessively acidic, like just like lemon, tamarind, or many things like that, if it goes in excess, that will create rajasam nature in a person. Salt, for example, salt is necessary, but excessive salt. Atyushnam, that means food which is hot enough, but excessively hot. And tyushnam. Tyushnam means some food that creates a lot of disturbances inside, very strong in its nature. That kind of food, which has got an immediate impact inside the mind, that one has to, as I mentioned before, everyone has to find out their own food. There is no one food for everybody. But in generally, they will say to us, sannyasis and the gurus, they will tell us from their habits, you can find out. And you can try to follow that and see if that is working for yourself. That's how. But only in general terms, they will give us the suggestion, what to eat. What to eat. So, certain food you can see, if it goes to the stomach, it will give trouble there. You know that very well. Sad. That one has to know oneself, what is digestible or not. Krishna is saying there a word, vidahinaha. It says, vidahinaha means that it will find it difficult to get it digested there. Tishna ruksha vidahinaha. Such like a burning nature. And amayam. And what the effect of all these kind of food is, dukkha shoga maya pradaha. It will create that dukkham, distress, shogam, misery and disease. It is the effect of all that. Amayam. Shogam, amayam, pradaha. Amayam means disease. Amayam means disease. So for many diseases, the root cause of all that is this food. This food. So, vyadhi. Krishna says, kattu amla levana atyushna tishna ruksha vidahina ahara rajasa syeshta dukkha shokamaya pradaha. So, just like continuously, when one eats different types of food, some people have that nature. One day Chinese, one day Indian, one day American, one day Greek. That is dangerous for the stomach. That's also not a good thing. Because every time you are putting pressure on the stomach. So if you don't get sick, only then you have to complain after eating all different varieties of food. So sannyasis and those who are in charge of different mats, matadibadi they are called, they have this problem because they will be traveling, and when they travel they get invited to different places, bhiksha. People will invite them for bhiksha. And then they'll go and eat that food and then they will get sick. They'll have problem with the sugar because a lot of sweets will be given to them and illness comes. So they've also realized that now, because especially these days it's more than before. In the past they didn't travel to such extent, but now they are flying around all over the world, is it not? So they also realized it, that the food that they eat, if they are not careful, they can get very easily sick, very easily sick. So we have to understand this, that times have changed and therefore we have to make adjustments in our own eating habits, in our own eating habits. That is what Krishna is saying. Otherwise, amaya pradaha, it will create illness, it will create sickness. So another thing is, when people offer you food, that you are accepting it, but while they have prepared their food, how much of their mind is present in that food? That is also, nobody knows, is it not? You don't know when somebody is cooking the food. Sometimes, with a lot of desires, they may be cooking the food. Particularly, these days, you can see this is quite common, that householders invite the sannyasis to come for bhiksha. Many, many householders, they have this habit of inviting sannyasis to come and stay. And but at the same time, they may have some desires inside, in the householder's mind. They will only talk to the sannyasis after they had the prasadam. After the prasadam is taken, and then they will pay their obeisances, everything to the sannyasi, and then they will tell their desire to them. And this is a very complicated situation. When they do that, that desires could be anything. It could be anything related to the job or marriage or grandchildren's problem or whatever it is. That some children have got married, they didn't have grandchildren. So that could be a concern for them. So in everything, when they have cooked the food, this background is working to tell the sannyasi or the leader who had come there, spiritual master or whoever it is. They themselves don't know, because they are also helpless. This desire has come, what can you do? And they are not doing all these things knowingly. Unknowingly they are doing it. And without their knowledge, these desires will be working inside their mind. Inside their mind. So that is why some sannyasis who are very intelligent, they do everything what they can for the householders, but they will not go to their houses and eat their food, and they will deliberately abstain from going to others' houses. Some sannyasis are like that. They will do everything they can for others, except they won't go to their houses, they won't eat their food, or they will move away from there. Because why? They know dukkha shokamaya pradaha, it will create problem for them later. So therefore, it will create distress, illness, and shokamayaha. So miseries or everything. So rajasa bhakshanam or rajasic food is that food which is loaded with desires. You see that? Rajasic food is that food which is loaded with desires. You won't know it, but it's there in that. So, and that food will create distress. Will create distress. And if you eat that food, it will create heaviness in the body. Gurutvam. It will create heaviness in the body. And after that meal, you won't be able to get up. You will like to sit in that place. So, after the meal, you can expect some disturbances in the stomach, or some kind of depression or pain or ill health. All these things are a result of that food. So that kind of food is very dear to the rajasic person. To the rajasic person. That is basically about the rajasic nature. So you can see the difference between sattvikam and rajasam, isn't it? Sattvika food, Krishna is saying here, rasya snigdha hridya stira hridya ahara sattvika priya. And ahara rajasa shyashta dukkha shoka maya pradaha amaya pradaha. That is the difference between the sattvikam and rajasam. Sattvikam and rajasam. Let us look at tamasam now. Verse 10. Yatayamam gadarasam Pudi paryushitam chayad Uchishtam abhijamedhyam Bhojanam tamasapriyam Yatayamam gadarasam Pudi paryushitam chayad Uchishtam abhijamedhyam Bhojanam tamasapriyam Yadayamam gadarasam Pudi paryushitam chayat Uchishtam abhija amedhyam Bhojanam tamasapriyam. Food prepared more than 3 hours before being eaten. Food that is tasteless, decomposed and putrid, and food consisting of remnants and untouchable things is clear to those in the mood of darkness. The mood of darkness. This is more interesting than the rajasic one. Because this is where we are closer to that. Yatayamam, Krishna says, Yatayamam. In the last verse, Krishna used the word kadu. Remember? Similarly, Krishna here saying, Yatayamam. Yatayamam, gadarasam, pudi, parushidam chayad. So, he says, Uchishtam, abhijamedyam, bhojanam, tamasapriyam. Certain vegetables, for example, they have an inherent quality of sattugunam in there, very strong. And that you have to observe from the sannyasis and the spiritually advanced people, observe their food habits and pick it up from there. For example, and that may contradict with what Krishna has spoken here. For example, karela, we are talking about karela. Karela is very bitter, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here, it is a general statement when he mentioned here that the katu amla levana atyushna tikshna ruksha vidahina. When he says karela is bitter, but at the same time it is not rajasam, it is sattvikam. It is sattvikam, and it is one of the vegetables which is allowed everyday consumption, for everyday consumption. Even though it is bitter, it is not rajasam. That is what you have to remember. Even though it's, how do you know that? Because great, great rishis and greatly advanced sannyasis and matadibadis, they take it and they know the benefit. You have to accept it from them. They say to us that in Sringeri, there was one Narasimha Swami Bharati. He was famous sannyasi. They call him Ugra Narasimham because he was such a powerful personality. And they also used to call him Karela Swami because that was his main food. He survived on Karela. He took it. And only he took the juice from the Karela on every day. That was his diet. And also, Paramacharya in Kanji, Chandrasekhara Saraswati, for a long period of time, he lived on the juice of Karela, Karela juice. So you can understand why they know these things better than us. What is good for them, for their spiritual strength. And similarly, things which are grown underneath the ground are not considered to be good. Why? Because there is no sunshine directly falling onto that. But there is exception there. Yam is an exception. Why? It is their experience is that sattugunam increases with yam has got that capacity to improve the sattugunam. So normally they don't eat anything that is grown underneath the ground because of the absence of sunshine there. But yam is an exception. Yam is an exception. They what they do, they cook the yam very well and they make it more like a batter and add on to that jaggery and take it like that. Very good for the those who are performing austerities. Those who are performing, who wants to have a control on the mind and the senses, for him, it's a for them, it's considered to be a very wonderful prasadam. Yam, cooked well and made it like a mashed state, and in that add on to the jaggery into it and take that. So they have experimented themselves, all of these personalities, and they have found certain food doesn't cause any problem, unlike others. And similarly, banana plants, the flower from the banana plants, they from there you can even extract ghee from that particular type of ghee. And that is very good for those who wants to performing austerities and penances. For austere, controls the mind well and do not create undue desires inside. That is the important thing. The thought waves stops with that, this type of food. Similarly, everything from the banana plant is eatable, but particularly the stem inside, which normally is not sold. I don't think it's sold in the market. But they find out and they eat that. And they eat that. The bananas are good also in the sattugunam. So directly those create sattugunam inside certain spinach. For example, bilua leaves. And there are so many like that in Ayurveda specified. When we go and visit the sannyasis in the traditionally, not in the modern way, modern system is so different. In the olden days, when they go to see, visit sannyasis, they take with them these things. Dry ginger, saffron, all these things are given and then you pay your obeisances to the sannyasis. So, William considered to be Lord Shiva's manifestations itself. And similarly, we talked about this before also, there is a particular type of spinach that was used to control the mind of others. Deliberately it creates sattugunam inside. It creates sattugunam inside. And Ramanujacharya's case, I mentioned that his spiritual master was a king before, and he got his kingdom because in a debate he won and he got the kingdom to himself. And when he was in the kingdom as the king who was ruling that kingdom, he got attached to sense enjoyment there. And his grandfather wanted his grandchild to come to the Vaishnava traditions. And therefore, he sent this Brahmana to him with this particular spinach. He used to go to the palace and he used to hand it over to the cook in the palace and go away from there. For it continued for many, many months. And because it was coming every day, the cook normally cooked it and gave it to the king. King ate that for months together. So one day, out of curiosity, he asked the cook, who is bringing this nice, just see how the food is changing your way of thinking even. It made him to think, realize it, that this particular spinach, he kept asking this cook, who brings this every day? So the cook said, somebody, one Brahmana brings it here, delivers it here and he goes away, he said. When he comes next time, I would like to see him, he said. The king says to the cook, otherwise it was difficult to get audience with the king. It was not possible. So because it came from the king's side, the request to see the Brahmana who brought this spinach, so when the next day when the Brahmana came, for a few days he didn't go. And when he came next time, the king's request, based on king's request, the cook asked him that the king wants to speak to you. So when he met up with the king, the Brahmana told him, I brought this only with one intention. Even that was loaded with a desire that he wanted to, that that he wanted to speak to the king about his grandfather's grandfather has left behind this instruction to give up this kingdom, administration, everything, and take to spiritual life, because that is the history of the great kings, isn't it? You can read in the 9th canto of the Bhagavatam. Great, great kings, how they walked out from the palace in the end of their life and took to spiritual life and gave their body in the forest, isn't it? So he comes there, and then when this Brahmana mentioned this to the king, king immediately gave up everything. Power of that, the spinach, what he had taken. All the way from there, they started walking. And while walking, he was chanting Bhagavad Gita. Who? This Brahmana was chanting the Bhagavad Gita. The king was listening. And by the end of that, due to hearing that Bhagavad Gita, it created knowledge inside. The knowledge inside. He gives up his kingdom and come to this Bhagavata tradition. Bhagavata tradition. So, certain things like that, they have a direct impression, direct influence on the mind, and it will create sattugunam in the mind. There are certain things like that. Rishis, this is important. Rishis gave importance to these things. Importance to these things. For them, life was more important than the world. Life was more important than the world. For us, what is important? Whether there is life in the Mars. That's our greatest worry today. Is there life there or not? That's all useless things. Or they will say that, is there water in the moon? Is another worry they have got. Or should we build a hotel in the ocean somewhere and live there? All these kind of projects are coming from people's head, isn't it? So that means, in no way it will help our daily life in this world, and it will no way help us or the world, and it will no use to anybody. Those things, we will discuss it and discuss it and discuss it whole life. This is the modern world. This is the modern world, and we will destroy our life in this way. This is the modern mind is like that, because of that Rajasam and Tamasam inside. The rishis never gave any importance to the world. They gave importance to the, more important than the world is, these things about their own life in this world. Not to the world, they gave the importance. Life was more important than the world for them. This is their conclusions. They didn't care about the world. They cared about their life in this world. So, why is it said like that? Their mindset is, the modern people we are talking about, their mindset, they say, is padartha bhavana drishti. Padartha bhavana drishti means, when they see any padartham, immediately their mind goes after that object. Padartha bhavana. It is one of the obstacles in spiritual advancement. Mind getting attracted to different objects in the world. Like the moon, like the Mars, like so many things. They will always find something new. They will look into the world or into the creation and find something very much attracted by that. And going after that. Rishis never approved this. Rishis are saying to us, look at your own life and see where you have to make the changes. This world, they have never given any importance to it. So, this Padartha Bhavana Drishti is an indication that there is no sattugunam in those people who are going out to the world. There is no sattugunam in there. So, because sacrificing nature, tyagam, vairagyam, renunciation, tapas, austerity, satyam, truthfulness, daya, mercy, these things are not important for the modern world. Modern world has no interest in all these things. Even if they do something, it will create exactly opposite effect in this world. So, asuram, that is why it is called asuram. Krishna is saying, asuram bhavam ashridaha. Asura bhavam is all these things. And that is what we see nowadays, isn't it? So, Krishna is saying that this one thing we have to keep in our understanding always, always. That rishis gave importance to our life in this world. Modern world give importance to the world outside, not your life. All useless things they will discuss, and they will waste your time and energy in that way. Nothing will come out of it. If there is life in the Mars or not, how does it matter? If there is life. If there is no life, what does it matter? If there is water in the moon, what does it matter? If there is no water in the moon, what does it matter? How does it affect us? Some useless things like this, they can waste their time and energy, and all our attention, energy, time, money, everything is spent in this wrong means. That's what Krishna is saying. That therefore, this is due to the, see how rajasic nature affects our way of thinking, and tamogunam and rajogunam. So, here, the next one, Krishna is saying, yatayamam. That is the first thing he calls it. The first word is yatayamam. Yatayama means food that has been cooked while ago. And Acharya Swamiji mentions here, mandapakvam, yatayamam mandapakvam nirviryasya gadarasena uktatvad. Now if I say this, we are all guilty in this yatayamam. We buy the best fridge available in the market, isn't it? Which has got a big freezer and a big fridge. And we load that with everything what we can. And for the whole week or 10 days or 15 days, it's there. Krishna says, is there any wonder we are like this? That's all I can say. That this yatayamam is that. Food that is cooked, that there is no viryam in that food. There is no viryam. Mandapakvam. Nirviryasya gadarasam. Nirviryasya gadarasena uktaktvad. Gadarasena because all the food, tin food particularly, cans, price is good, but inside there is nothing there. So with the fridge and with this canned food, is there any surprising that Bhagavad Gita is not getting in? And so, when was that food canned? We don't know. Only you have to look at the date, expiry date only you look at. When it was put it in, we don't know, isn't it? So, and what is in it? We don't know. Where is it coming from? We don't know. So, that is why these things have changed all our habits. Yadayamam gadarasam. Yadayama means cooked so many days ago, stored. Gadarasam means which has lost all its potency, the food's potency. Nowadays, in some temples, we are talking about the milk now. Milk comes in these plastic packets, is it not? Everywhere in India you'll see this. Plastic packets is everywhere. Kashmir to Kanyakumari, it's all plastic packets. You don't see the cow when it's milked, nothing important. Milk days ago, and it so many things have happened, and here also same thing, no difference at all. And we say it is milk. As far as Shankaracharya is concerned, it's not milk. He says it's not milk anymore. In the sense, what he is saying to us is that milk, when it is milked from the cow, that's why in the olden days in the villages, they used to bring the cow to the house and milk there in front of the family members. And they were given the milk there fresh from the cow. But now what has happened is that in one of the temples, I have seen this in Tamil Nadu, because there is no other milk available, they have brought these plastic packets completely packed with milk, hundreds of packets, and the pujari is cutting the plastic bag and pouring it on the Lord Shiva's deity. Milk. This is what is going on. And it is supposed to, I don't know what Shiva will be thinking about this milk, what's being given to him. So this is the way it has gone, changed now, with our advancement in the science and industry and everything. So we call it as Abhishek. Our own Abhishek, if you look at some of the festivals, it is all the milk bought from Tesco's and Sainsbury's, which has been cooked many days, which has been milked many days ago. And if you look at the process, how they make this milk, the different kinds of fat content, 2.5, 5% like that, they remove all the fat first, and then to make it 2.5%, they will add on to it back again. Similarly, to make it 5%, they add furthermore. Like this, the whole milk, what it comes to us in the can, whether you can call it as milk, it's a bit doubtful question, isn't it? Because the cow itself is not a cow anymore. This is the worst thing. This is the worse thing. Because you won't allow the cow to have the baby in the proper way. Because the way the cow gets pregnant and the way the cow has its calf, it's also changed. So cow is not a cow anymore. The milk that is coming is not milk anymore. And in Ayurvedam, how conscious they were about these things at one time, that for certain diseases, what they used to say was that you keep a cow at home, those who didn't have cows at home, and then allow the calf to drink the milk first. And after that, you milk the cow and have your, that is the treatment for the disease, for certain diseases. And they have, there are so many stories about that. They couldn't treat that disease with any other medicine, and this is how they treated the disease. That they told them that you just get a cow, keep the cow at home, and first feed the baby calf very much, as much as it wants. After that, if you take that milk from the cow, it will have immediate effect on the, on for that particular disease. And only take that milk and you'll get cured, and they got cured in many, many cases. So, so, and there are instances like that. If you ask that, is there such a milk available these days? So, where is the milk, first of all? First of all, people have no freedom to keep the cow. And then where is the milk for the calf? Calf doesn't get the milk, isn't it? And all the milk, we take it from the cow. And the cow is also not the proper cow. Only in shape, it looks like a cow. Only in the shape. And if it has to have a baby, it is through injection. The veterinary doctor, you pay a lot of money to him to look after the cow. And the and we know that only through the injection that cow is pregnant, made pregnant. Krishna is saying, yatayamam gadarasam. There is no yatayamam. There is no rasam there in that virium or juice. Nothing is there. And whatever qualities you are expecting from that milk, it doesn't exist in that. And you can see this, if you drink this milk from the packet, after a while you will see in the stomach there is a good strain running. That kind of milk that is. So we are saying it is milk and we are offering it to Krishna, all these things. And so... So, Krishna mentions there in the earlier chapter, remember, Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashridaha. If you say all these things about the food what we are eating today, what shall we eat then? There is not much left today in the world, isn't it? And we cannot keep a cow at home, and looking after the cow is not easy. And therefore, everything from the milk also we can't expect very much as far as the Sattugunam is concerned. And these are days nowadays, you can get any vegetable for the whole year. All seasons you can get all the vegetables. That's the type of world we are living. In the olden days you don't get that. Mango means only mango season is there. At that time you will get the mangoes, is it not? Now you will get mango from somewhere in the world, you'll bring it. And mango is available throughout the year. Throughout the year. Equally, all other vegetables also. It's brought from somewhere and you can bring that also. But by the time it gets here, probably a week or 10 days is over. Isn't it? Similarly, we are living in an age like that, where food is transported from the place where it's grown to thousands of miles apart and sold there. The apples, if you take for example, nowadays apples comes with the sticker on that, isn't it? And if you peel the apple, you'll get a lot of wax with it, because it's nicely polished with the wax or whatever that they have put on, polished it very much. So this is what we are taking it inside. And if you look at it, you will see the apple and other things. There is no essence in that. And if you, after eating that, you won't know whether you've eaten an apple or a pear. That much you are not sure about it, isn't it? Similarly, the color is more important for them. What does it? The color of that. So, only thing is, when you eat it, it doesn't have the taste of that fruit. Gadarasam. Krishna is saying here. So, Gadarasam means food that's been prepared somewhere else for many days before and then brought it. That is called Gadarasam. Pudi means which has already lost its taste. It has become bitter or it's gone useless. It's become useless. Just like you can see Payasam, for example, sweet. That if you, 2 days if you keep it, it loses its taste, isn't it? So, some things, after it has become a little bit bitter, we eat it. Like alcohol, for example. After a few days, you take it, isn't it? That is pudi. That word pudi. Krishna is using that word pudi. Food that becomes consumable after a few days. Like alcohol, for example. So that is why Krishna says here, pudi durgandhi paryushitam cha. It becomes durgandham. Durgandham means bad smell comes from that. But people say that it's very good. Now what are you supposed to say to them? These things, what they create, this wine and alcohol and all that, after they brew it and after many days, when you open that, a smell comes from that. And they say it is good smell. Ajari Swamiji says, Pudi durgandham paryushitam cha. He says here, that paryushitam. certain things, for example, see, so for example, potatoes. If you cook it and eat it straight away, it's not harmful. It's not harmful. But if you cook it and put it in the fridge, and by the time it's gone through the night, it creates problem in the stomach, creates gas inside the stomach, isn't it? So, this you can see in India, particularly in the north, most of the people, they use potatoes. If they use it, they cook it, they straight away eat it. It's not stored very much in the fridge, isn't it? So, similarly, you can see that after cooking, if you eat it in an hour or two, it is okay. But if you keep it in the fridge, and if you take him out after a few hours, he is different. He has changed. So from that you can understand. The food, when it is consumed straight away after cooking, it's fine. But if you store it in the fridge, especially potato and things like that, if you store it in the fridge, he is a different person altogether. Therefore, if you look at him, he remains exactly the same as you have put it in. But what problem he can create is different. Only thing is, when what he does inside, when he goes in, it will be a different situation altogether. Paryushitam. Krishna uses the word paryushitam. Paryushitam cha pakvam sad ratri andaridam cha. Paryushitam cha pakvam ratri andaridam cha. That means, certain foods, should not be eaten after a certain period of time, after cooking. And some people, they cook rice and store it. There's nothing worse than that, to cook rice and storing it. And that's very damaging. And then reheat it, taking it out from the fridge, because we've got machine after machine after machine lined up, isn't it? The fridge, microwave, then one after the other, to go through all the processes. And what is going inside? Is totally damaging to the food. Food should be cooked at the time when we need to eat. And no question of storing it. It's unnecessary for that purpose. So, why I'm saying all these things is that I'm doing all these things. That's why. Because there's kinds there that situation is like that. Difficult to escape from all these things. So, why we are mentioning all these things is we should know what is the right thing. Not knowing these things and thinking for convenience sake, doing various things in life. If one can avoid all these things, it will help in our spiritual life. These habits the rishis have cultivated very seriously in their life, cooking the food at the time when they had to eat, and selecting the food what is favorable or conducive for spiritual life, and never to store the food or use that kind of foodstuff that will create rajasic or tamasic nature. If we give attention to all these things, Krishna is saying to us that is a preliminary requirement in spiritual life. Requirement in spiritual life. So, and normally people, due to ashraddha, there is no shraddha in all these things, they won't take notice of all these things. And because you don't have a shraddha, that doesn't mean there is no effect of these things. There is effect of that. Effect is there, but you don't know what is the reason behind it. Why we are like this. So we may not have thought about it, and we may have thought something different. What we'll do is, when there is sickness, what do you do? Straight away go to the pharmacist and get some medicines and take it in, thinking that that's the answer to the problem. So little things like this about the food, what Krishna has spoken, we may have never given any attention to it. That is the important point. So, and you, all you have to do is, if you try to change it and see for yourself, is it helping? That's the question. And you have to try it that way. And that is essential for, Krishna is saying, for spiritual life. One who has come to spiritual path, these things are important. These things are important. Cooking food in the morning for consumption in the night. Or, cooking in the night and keeping it for the morning. All these things, Krishna has given importance to it. And Paryushitam, that means it has become Paryushitam. That is what it means, Paryushitam. And whatever we have cooked one day and eaten for the next day, and certain things may not have caused the problem. certain vegetables, for example, they lose their potency after a certain period of time. They are no good. And that is why, and he mentions here, that Ratri Andaridam Cha, yet that Parishidam Cha Pakvam Sad Ratri Andaridam Cha. That means, he is saying here, Parishidam Cha Pakvam, that if you have kept it for a longer period of time, then it has lost its potency in that food. So, even if they are very good things, very good vegetables and all, if you have kept it for a long time, it has lost its potency. It has lost its viryam. And certain things you can see which will damage our life seriously, you can keep them for a long time. Take for example sugar. Sugar, even if you keep it for years together, it won't go bad. Isn't it? That, what does it mean? That means it's so damaging, that sugar, for us. That poison is inside in that, to such extent. And very good things, they will go, they'll get destroyed very quickly. Very quickly also. So, this all, one has to conduct one's own research in all these things. And every individual has to find what is that is suitable for his own benefit. So, in general, there's no point in reading books and following that book straight away. How much one should eat, when one should eat, and what kind of food one should eat, you may have to research yourself and find out. For each and every individual has to do it himself. That's the way Krishna has spoken these verses. There is no one rule apply, you can blanket application for whole people. That's not possible. Because everyone is different in their own Right. But on a general note, Krishna has mentioned certain things. So food habits are concerned. You have to take what Krishna has spoken about it. You have to also observe advanced souls, advanced devotees, advanced jnanis, how their diet habits are. And you have to find your own diet. You have to create what suits your own nature. What creates satugunam inside, that is the importance. That is the priority. Some people, they will say that, we will not eat anything outside. They will say like this, we'll not eat anything outside. And and I will not eat anything that is cooked for a long period of time. Then, after saying all that, they will go to the shop and buy the biscuits. They'll buy biscuits and eat it. And because none of these bakery products are good for spiritual life. None of them. And because you don't know when they have been cooked and how they have been prepared. And they will show a lot of ajara shuddhi. Ajara shuddhi means they will give an impression that they follow strictly everything. But when it comes to bakery products, they'll go and eat that. And they will not eat this or that, and they'll say, eat the biscuits. And sometimes you know these biscuits and other bakery things, they will say suitable for vegetarians. And in their definition of vegetarianism, egg is included. Sometimes you will see egg in there. Or some technical terminology they will use, E this number, E number something. And then you are supposed to find out what that E number is. And you don't know where it's coming from, what the extra gelatin or calf, stomach and all sorts of things. These things are extracted and added on to these things, isn't it? So, as far as they are concerned, it does not matter. That's why Krishna is saying, Pudhi Paryushitam Chayat. He says there, isn't it? It is both Pudhi as well as Paryushitam. And only thing is, they have packaged it nicely in the beautiful tins and plastic, nicely packaged, is it not? And with a lot of things spoken about the quality of that, what is inside. All big advertisements and propaganda, but the inside thing is not eatable, not eatable. If you have kept it in that the tins or packets for a long period of time, if you think that satogunam has built up inside, it hasn't happened there. And that is the quality of that. Sometimes you may not have to give it up. You may not have to give it up. You may feel that you don't need it. Or you may feel that, why should I eat all these things? Why push all these things into the stomach and give trouble to Vaishvanara inside? Vaishvanara inside. When it gets inside, he wouldn't like it. And you may think that, why I'm eating all these things? Only thing is, for hunger, we have to eat some food. But why do we have to eat like this? And certain things, when you see, if you observe, you will see how much effort is required, like the laddu, jalebi and things like that. And why so much time and endeavor to cook all those things, isn't it? A lot of sugar, color powder into it, artificial flavorings and all other things. And you don't know where it's going to end up. And it is nicely displaced in the huge glass house. And people are looking at it and seeing, and so that is what Krishna is talking about. We have to look at all those things, not what is available in the market. That's not the way how we make the decision about what to eat. Most of the people make the decision like that. What's available in the market, isn't it? That's the only criteria. For us, we have to be conscious that what Krishna is saying here, that these criteria, what Krishna has given here, they should be the guideline while buying food, cooking vegetables, storing food. and cooking food, consuming food, on all our, because there is a lot of time in our life we spend on these things, isn't it? In buying food, cooking food, serving food. A lot of our time in the day is centered around this activity. Of course, people are who are not interested in spiritual life, they don't bother. They just go and sandwiches here and sandwiches there and this and 2 minutes finished everything for them. That's a different thing. But those who have come to spiritual life, Krishna is saying this aharam is an important aspect of the satugunam, and satugunam is necessary for chitta shuddhi, and chitta shuddhi is necessary for self-realization, knowledge of the self. One is linked with the other. So finally Krishna is saying here, Uchishtam abhijamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. Uchishtam, that means eating food, remnants of others, which is a bad habit. Remnants of others. Highly realized souls, if you have their uchishtam, that is okay. That means realized personalities or great personalities who have spiritually realized the truth. If you have their uchishtam, it won't do any harm. It is beneficial. But ordinary people whom we don't know, their uchishtam is not good. That Krishna calls it as amedhyam. Amedhyam means it is considered to be like stool. And those kind of food, Krishna is saying, is helpful for those who are in the tamasam nature, tamasic nature. They eat the uchishtam. They eat the uchishtam. Ahara tamasapriya. Aharam tamasapriya. So, those four verses, basically about food. Aharastvabhi sarvasya, trivido bhavadi priya, yajnas tapas tadha dhanam, tesham bhedam imam shrunu. Krishna started on the seventh verse. Then, ahara sattu, ayur sattu balarogyam, sukha priti vivardhana, rasya snigdha stira hridya, ahara satvika priya. Katvamla levanatyushnam, tishna ruksha vidahinam, ahara rajasa syeshta, dukkha shokamaya pradaha. Yadam yamam, gadarasam, pudi parushidam chayad, uchishtam abhijamedhyam, bhojanam tamasa priyam. That is what we have seen so far. So far we have seen these things. After saying this, so basically, aharam is what we have discussed. Two things we have seen, the deity, worship of the deity, and now the food, isn't it? So aharam is a major thing, topic in our life, is it not? Topic in our life. Tasmat sarvaushadam uchyate, Shruti says about aharam. And after talking about food, Vedam says it is sarva aushadam. Aushadam. That means it's like a medicine. This food that is going inside. No other medicine will work, because in Ayurvedam you can see they give importance to pathyam. That means whenever Ayurveda treatment goes on, Ayurvedam is used in the treatment, they give importance to the pathyam. Pathyam means the restrictions with the diet. Restrictions with the diet. There's given more importance to that than the medicine itself. Simply giving medicine is not the solution. Along with that, the tight restrictions on the diet. So, without those diet restrictions, normally in Ayurvedam, medicines are not given. They will insist on those. Put the restrictions on the diet. Pathyam aushadha sevacha, says Ayurveda. And mainly this pathyam is in eating habits, isn't it? So aharam, he calls it as, Vedam calls it as aushadham. It's like a medicine. And Ajari Swamiji mentions there that for the sannyasis, Bhiksha aushadam bujyadam, he mentions there. Bhiksha aushadam bujyadam. Whatever that is collected through bhiksha, that means sannyasis are supposed to go out for bhiksha. And what food has been received like that is eatable for them, bujyadam. what they get through bhiksha, and they can eat it as aushadham, as a medicine, like a medicine they should take it. But Vedam says to us that aharam should be a medicine, food should be a medicine for everybody. Annam de astu aushadham, and you should take it like a medicine you are taking, in the same way you have to take the food. And it should have the benefit like the medicines. Aharam must have. So when Krishna spoke about aharam, you can notice one thing here. He didn't say eat these things. He didn't put it in like that. Instead, what he is saying is, the way Krishna puts those verses is, if I look at your food, what you are eating, what kind of person you are, we can find out from that. That's how Krishna has spoken the verses. Have you noticed that? He didn't tell us that you can eat all these things. The way Krishna's verses are, if you read the verses, you will know to observe these things. That if I look at somebody, what kind of food he is taking, how he is eating, from that I can understand what kind of person he is. You can figure out that. That's the way Krishna has said like that. Never he said, you eat this food. He never said like that. But the way you are eating, one can say, what is inside you? What is inside you? Just like, if you see a cat, you know it will eat the mouse. It will eat the mouse, isn't it? Similarly, the food what you eat, from there you can understand the person inside that body. So that is what Krishna has spoken here. These verses are spoken here. You can see, look at that. In the verses you will notice this. That ayu sattva balaryogyam sukhapriti vivardhanam rasya snigdha sthira hridya ahara satvika priya, he says. Those who are in the satvika nature, they will like this kind of food. That's how Krishna puts it. He didn't say to us, you eat all this kind of food. No. He says, you will find out a person is satvika nature if he is attracted to this kind of food. If he is eating this kind of food. That means he has an attraction for that kind of food. That means you know that person is satvikam inside. And katvamla levana atyushna tishna rucha vidahina ahara rajasa siyashta dukkha shoga maya prada. If a person is so much attracted to this kind of food, katvam, amlam, levanam, atyushnam, tishnam, ruksham, vidahina, those kind of food what we are saying, if he is showing some liking for that food, then you can say the person is rajasic. He has got rajasic nature in him. Then yadayamam gadarasam pudi parishidam chayat uchishtam abhijamedhyam bhojanam thamasapriyam. Modern life, people don't give any importance to food, isn't it? Nobody cares. As long as there is something to eat, they say, that's enough. Some people say, I will eat anything. That's also another way of saying that. And they don't have that. We don't have, the answer is they'll say, we don't have the time to cook. 2-3 times a day to cook, we don't have the time. So then we use all other excuses. We have time to sit and watch the telly for 2 hours, but we don't have the time to cook the food. So this is the modern world. We are busy with so many useless things sometimes. That's what Krishna is indicating to us, that aharam, we don't give importance to it, but Krishna says it's the most important thing in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, in developing spiritual life. That's what he is saying here. So for Chitta Shuddhi, Vedam has given this injunction, particularly about the food. Vedic injunction, that is. So there is no question of contradicting that. It is the conclusion of the Vedam, that if you want Chitta Shuddhi in all traditions, whether it is Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, or whatever traditions one comes from, they all know this, that they have to have the proper food. Proper food. You saw that in that third chapter, verse 11, you saw what Krishna mentions there, that ahara shuddhau sattva shuddhi. Sattva shuddhi comes from aharam. And sattva shuddhau dhruva smriti lambhe sarva grandhinam vipramokshaha. Krishna mentions there, isn't it? So once the aharam, food is pure, so our sattugunam will get purified. And if the sattugunam is pure, then bhakti jnanam will develop in that person. And that will only happen if sattugunam is pure sattugunam. So, and for pure sattugunam, aharam is an important factor. And that is why so much has been spoken about it. And now, there are certain other smaller things as far as eating habits are concerned. Krishna mentioned earlier, yuktahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta svapnava bodhasya yogo bhavadi ukaha. In the 6th chapter, 17th verse, Krishna said, yukta aharam, that means eating with what is required, control on the habits. Viharam, entertainment, sleeping, sense gratification, everything. Even if all these things, if it is not yuktam, that means if it is not properly balanced, then his consciousness or his mind will not be in the yoga state. So if the subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego, which is that subtle body, if it has to be in a yoga state all the time, it will be much easier, Krishna is saying, if everything is yuktam, balanced. Yuktahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu, yukta satnava bhodasya, yogo bhavadi dukaha. So, moderation, in other words. And his ajnanam inside, ignorance inside, it has got the capacity to destroy that. Which one? In eating in moderation, sleeping in moderation, entertainment in moderation, and you should not go either this way or that way. Everything in a moderation. This Krishna has spoken in the 6th chapter. So, yuktam means, that word yuktam means, first of all, we have to find out what is the food that is yuktam for me. That is yuktam for me. What is the food that is yuktam for me, for my yoga state? And all that is discussed here is about those who are performing sadhana in life. So, whether it is in the jnana margam or bhakti margam or yoga margam, this dimension is important. For example, people say to us, my work habit, my working life is such that I cannot follow all these things because I am working so many hours in a day. Or if somebody says like that, the work is demanding so much from me. Or somebody else will say, I am a sportsman, I need all this kind of food for my sporting activities. All those things are not taken into account here. They can go and eat and do what they want. There is nothing stopping them from doing that. Krishna is not addressing them. It's only addressed to those who wants to have, who was performing sadhana in home, in life, who wants to make progress in spiritual life, who wants to realize the self, to whom Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita. It is for them all these things apply. You can't force this upon others. For example, ordinary people who doesn't have a spiritual goal in life, who doesn't want to progress in spiritual path, for them their material life and happiness in material world is important. For them what they eat is their choice. There's nothing you have to put restrictions upon them. These restrictions only for those who have taken spiritual life very seriously and who wants to understand what Krishna is saying in this Bhagavad Gita, to realize this truth, what Krishna has spoken. So it is only keeping them in the viewpoint, in their perspective, Krishna has spoken all these things that you have to always bear in mind. Otherwise you will start thinking that, oh, others are not following, why they are not following. That's not the question here. So, for example, people have got different kinds of jobs in this world. They are doing different types of work, different kinds of business, where they have to travel a lot of places and do different things. All those lifestyle is not favorable for spiritual life. That's the important point to remember. You can imagine why Krishna, when he said that, Vyavasayalmiya buddhi egeha gurunandana, he says, is it not? Why did he say that? Because if you have decided spiritual life and realization as the goal, then you may have to make certain adjustments in all other areas of life, isn't it? So, because this chapter is about yajnam, tapasya, dhanam. That means karmam or yajnam or activities, work, what type of work we do. Austerity is what we do. Charity we perform. All these things are factors which are very important in deciding our spiritual progress. Deciding our spiritual progress. So it is before Krishna spoke about yajnam, tapasya and dhanam. Yajnam means the sacrifices, tapasya is the austerities, and dhanam is the charity. Before these three things were spoken, the two important ones Krishna spoke about, the devata and the aharam. Devata and the aharam. Because aharam, these restrictions on aharam or food is for those only who are performing sadhana in life. Sadhana in life. Because we want to keep our mind peaceful, first of all. Shanti in the mind. Sadhana is for that purpose, isn't it? A disturbed mind full of thought waves cannot advance in spiritual life. It's not possible. And therefore, Krishna is saying, first thing is, shanti is necessary. And in order to create that shanti, Krishna says here that this kind of food will help that sattvic nature, rajasic nature, tamasic nature. Krishna spoken. He said, if you are in that sattvic food habits, then it will be very favorable for that. And if you have decided inside that you want to have a peaceful mind all the time, our own consciousness will tell us that if I eat excessively, it will cause problem for me. I will bring control on my own diet in a natural way. Our own consciousness will dictate to us from inside not to eat other things. Because these are things, as you go along in your spiritual life, you have to keep developing these things individually. There is no other way. This is why institutionalized spiritual life also causes problems. That on an individual level, we have to see what is good for us, for our own spiritual advancement, time we eat, how we cook, how we get served. So many important things in the aharam itself, on the food habits. So all these things are only possible if you can do it on an individual level. It's not possible to do it on a large scale, is it not? So, everybody can understand that they say that if you eat once, you are a yogi. If you eat twice, you are a bhogi. If you eat thrice, you are a rogi. And if you eat four times, you are a drohi. So, those things are spoken as far as the habits are concerned. Krishna is saying like that. Adha idanim yajnam trividham uchyate. So, when we talked about that, remnants, eating the remnants are concerned. So, so as I mentioned before, that in the modern days, these people who are recommending about diet and all that, they'll tell us that you can eat little by little, little, and many times during the day. They say like that. That way you can keep your figure proper and all sorts of things like that. That is not acceptable from the Shastram point of view. Shastram says to us, eat once or twice a day, and that too, and that should be sufficient. This snacking business is not good. It's not a good thing. That is the Shastric injunction is like that. If you look at properly trained and properly developed sannyasis and matadivadis, they won't eat like the way we are. We are all into all these things, isn't it? So, and finally, everything should be offered to Krishna. Should be offered to Krishna as prasadam. Krishna mentions that, isn't it? Where does he mention the Bhagavad Gita? Prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyo vajayate. Second chapter, I think. If you look at the 65th verse, I think. It mentions there. Prasade sarva dukkhanam hani rasyo vajayate. Prasanna chedaso hyashu buddhi pari avatishtate. It's a famous verse. പ്രസാദേ സർവദുഃഖാനാം ഹാനിരസ്യോപജായതെ പ്രസന്ന ചേതസോ ഹ്യാശു ബുദ്ധി പര്യവതിഷ്ഠതെ. 65. For one thus satisfied in Krishna consciousness, the threefold miseries of material existence exist no longer. In such a satisfied consciousness, one's intelligence is soon well established. So, everything to make it as prasadam, that is what we have to look at, isn't it? In order to do that, we have to have shraddha in this annam, food what we eat. And everything, once it is offered to Krishna, it becomes prasadam. And has become divine, and that is our shraddha. So, in order to purify the food, what we eat, and that power to purify and make that prasadam as, to make it as prasadam, that power is in our imagination, bhavamandalam, in our bhavamandalam. And that is why Krishna used the word hridyaha. Hridyaha, he said like that, isn't it? So that is another rasyaha snigdaha hridyaha, Krishna says there. Rasya snigda tadha hridya aharam satvika priya, he mentions in the verse 8. Rasya snigda stira hridya dai hridyam, isn't it? Because hridyaha means that it should be possible to eat, and that means which can be eaten every day. Which can be eaten every day. For example, you can see on special days what you are eating, that you is not favorable for every day. That's not favorable for austerities, for performing austerities. It's not favorable. Just like you can see that whatever we have to eat on a regular basis, every single day, like rice, dal, sabji, chapati, these things, that should always be offered and taken as prasadam. Sweets, for example, you can see like Diwali days or Janmashtami days. On a special days, it is allowed to have it. But if that comes every day, then it's not possible. It's not possible to eat. In Ramayanam, there is an interesting example of this. That when Ramachandra was in the forest, there's a particular plant, I don't know the English name of that. In Sanskrit they call it as Inguti. And that plant, from there, there is a kind of food that is created from that plant. And Ramachandra is offering that food before he takes it. Before he takes it. If you ask the question, Valmiki says there, that is what Ramachandra used to eat every day. So he was offering that. He was offering that. Yad anna purusho bhavadi tad annaha tasya devadaha. He says that purusha, whatever we are eating, that is offered to the devata inside. Ramachandra is offering to self within. And that what he is eating, that is offered. Whatever he is eating. Like Jadabharata offered all the remnants what were sent to him by his brothers, and that it turned converted into amrutam, to nectar, isn't it? So another thing is to make everything, first thing is to make everything as prasadam by offering to Krishna and offering to Vaishvanara, who is inside that, Andaryami inside, and with his permission eating the food. That is important. Now, in one instance, that one great personality, in his food, people used to queue up to get the remnants from his food. This is quite common in many places. In Vaishnava tradition also, to eating the remnants. That's quite common. And Uddhava also mentioned this in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Uchishta bojino dasa tavamaya jayemahi. He says there. To Yobabukka Sraghanda Vasalangara Charchidaha Uchishta Bojino Dasa Taumaya Jayemahi, he says, Uddhava says. Uddhava enjoyed eating Krishna's remnants. So, but this Mahatma, he said that when he realized that people are waiting for his Uchishtam, his remnants, and they were fighting each other for that, for the remnants. So he didn't know about this first, but then he realized that it was for that purpose. He stopped that habit. He ate everything what was in the plate and he took the leaf himself and threw it away finally. So when he asked the devotees, their devotees requested him that they should give his remnants to him. But his answer was like this. He said, if you eat the prasadam without this pride inside, with understanding that prasadam is taken to please the antaryami inside, for Vaishvanara's pleasure, if you take the food, it will become prasadam. It will become prasadam. That means, who is eating the food? The antaryami inside is taking the food. And with that knowledge, with bhakti, with devotion, if you take it, that is prasadam. That is prasadam. In the process of knowledge, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer is not there, isn't it? Similarly, in the Shraddham also, when they give annam, food, to the Pitralokam, Pitradevadas, Ahamcha Brahma, Annamcha Brahma, Boktacha Brahma. That is the mantram they chant. Ahamcha Brahma, Annamcha Brahma, Boktacha Brahma. I am Brahmam, the food is Brahmam, and the person who is consuming it is also Brahmam. So, everything is Brahmam. So, that is why in that fourth chapter, Krishna mentions an important verse there. What is that? Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavir, Brahmagnav, Brahmanahudam, Brahmaiva, Tena Gandavyam, Brahmakarmam, Samadhinaha. Fourth chapter, 24th verse. This is coming from that. That the food is Brahmam, prasadam is Brahmam. The person who is eating it is Brahmam. And the person who is taking it is also Brahmam. Everything is Brahmam. So, if you have that, this is Jnanam, from the Jnanam Margam. Bhakti Margam, we take that, it is offered to Krishna, and for Krishna's pleasure I am eating, then it is Prasadam. Then it is Prasadam. So, either way, whether you through the Jnanam Margam or through the Bhakti Margam, whatever we consume, this understanding is important. This understanding is important. Either Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavir, Brahmagnav, Brahmanahudam, Brahmaiva, Tenagandavyam, Brahmakarma, Samadhina. Like everything is Brahmam with that in the Jnana Margam. In the Bhakti Margam, everything that what we are consuming must be offered to Krishna. And what Krishna has given as prasadam, we are taking it. Antaryami is eating that. And it is taken by the devotee with that consciousness. And if it is done like that, Krishna says that, I am not eating, Krishna is eating inside. That realization inside, then it will turn out to be prasadam. It is turned out to be prasadam. So, it is in the strength of this knowledge, what Krishna has spoken, that Agastya ate Vatapi. Remember in the Bhagavadam, in the ninth canto, you will see this story. Vatapi was killed and offered to Agastya. Agastya sat there and happily ate that. How did he eat that? Because he chanted this mantra, Vatapi jirno bhava. Vatapi jirno bhava. Anything will get digested if you have this consciousness inside. So, normally we have to be very sensitive in the sadhana stage. In the sadhana stage. So, when we are not very sensitive in the lower level, suppose you are not doing any sadhana, you are not daily doing any spiritual sadhana, and you are living a life like that in this world, then you won't be very sensitive to all these things, isn't it? In the lower level, you won't be very sensitive. In the highest level, you will transcend it. This is the difference. In the lower level, we are not sensitive about food habits. In the lower level. But once you come to spiritual life and you have a definite goal in life and a desire to realize the truth and you have taken to spiritual life seriously and you are performing sadhana every day, in that sadhana stage, you are very sensitive to all these things. You've got to be sensitive. But if you have gone far ahead in spiritual path and if you have even the highest level, then you have transcended all these things. It doesn't matter. Like Agastya's case. When he ate Vatapi, it will digest. Vasishtha ate cow flesh. It got digested. How? Who is Vasishtha? He is on the topmost ladder in the Jnani, among the Jnanis. Didn't have anything happened. is it not? So if you look at their lives, you can see why in the highest level they will transcend all these things. They don't have any effect on them anymore because they've realized the truth already. It won't affect them. It won't affect them. But in the sadhana level, these are very, very important. That is the point Krishna is making here. So you can also observe these things in this world. We are very careful about the water we drink. We buy that and bottled water and all other things, isn't it? And if it changes a little bit, we get sick. We get sick. And look at these hogs in the sewer. In the sewer. They are drinking it happily. And you look at their body. How good they look. Isn't it? Very healthy. We, with all the care, distilling the water and treating the water and the spring water, all sorts of things what we do to make that water so that our body can digest it. But look at the hog. He is regularly drinking that water from the sewer. He's not getting sick. He doesn't run to the pharmacist for the tablets, is it? He doesn't do that. And he is very stout and fat also. And he also got a digestive system inside. And and he has got its intestines. Like we have got large intestines, small intestines and all that. They have also got it. And that is able to take all the so-called bacteria. And if you look at their children, they are more healthy than them. We think, look at them and say, oh, what a habit they have got. Isn't it? But if you look at their health, they don't have an NHS. We got all these NHS running parallel with us, with all our extra care what we take with our food and other things, isn't it? So, or because it's eating from the drainage, we'll say like this, oh, what is so special about the hog? Because in his stomach, in its stomach, it has got that power to digest that food. All you have to do is to go to Vrindavanam and look at there, how they live there, isn't it? They're all family together, very happy. They play and they enjoy in the sewer, the whole family together, eat well, sleep well, and enjoy their life well. And look at the family, nobody is sick there in the family. Whereas our children, if they change the water once, that is enough for them to get sick. So they get sick. So basically you can see to a large extent, these thoughts in our mind, that also is a cause behind the sickness. And in the lowest level, it is not sensitive. You can see like the hogs. They are in the lowest level. They don't have any spiritual goal or spiritual realizations. But at the same time, they live in this world with their family, everything. They are not getting affected by a sickness or death. Or in the highest level, you will transcend all these things. It is in the sadhana stage, all this is a problem. If you have become Agastya or if you have become Vasishta, there is nothing to fear about it. And or if you are like a hog, also you have nothing to worry about it. But only in the sadhana level, you have become very sensitive. So, just like they say that this twinge in the eye, that is like our mind is. Little things are necessary in life, we will lose our balance in life. Therefore, when we are performing sadhana, adhyatma sadhana or bhakti sadhana, during that time, for advancement in the spiritual path, we have to take food that is favorable. That is what Krishna is saying. Ayu sattu balarogyam sukhapriti vivardhanam rasya snigdha sthira hridya ahara satyuga priya. That verse. So that means that sattvam means that food that is favorable or that does not create any obstacle in executing the bhakti sadhana. Or that food that does not bring illness to the body. And so therefore you can see in the olden days, it's not anymore now, not these days. In the olden days for Brahmana boys, when they had their second initiation, which has to have happened before 8 years old, they were to have their ഉപനയനം, ദ കോൾ ഇറ്റ് ഉപനയനം. ബൈ ഉപനയനം, ഫ്രം ഉപനയനം ടു സമാവർത്തനം ദ വോണ്ട് ഈറ്റ് ഉരദാൾ. ഇറ്റ് വാസ് ദ സിസ്റ്റം ദെൻ. ഉപനയനം ടു സമാവർത്തനം, ബിക്കോസ് ഫ്രം ഉപനയനം, ഉപനയനം മീൻസ് ദ ടുഡേ വി കോൾ ഇറ്റ് എ സെക്കൻഡ് ഇനീഷ്യേഷൻ, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? സോ ഉപനയനം ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് വൺ വെയർ ദ ഗിവൻ ദ സേക്രഡ് ത്രെഡ്. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് എൻ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് ടൈം ഇൻ ദർ ലൈഫ്. സമാവർത്തനം ഈസ് ദ ടൈം വെൻ ദ ഹാവ് ഫിനിഷ്ഡ് ദെയർ എഡ്യൂക്കേഷൻ ആൻഡ് വെൻ ദ ഹാവ് വെൻ ദ ആർ റെഡി ഫോർ ദ മാരേജ്. സോ ഡ്യൂറിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് പീരിയഡ്, ഫ്രം ഉപനയനം ടു സമാവർത്തനം പീരിയഡ്, ദ വിൽ നോട്ട് ടേക്ക് ഉരദാൽ, ബിക്കോസ് ഉരദാൽ ഈസ് കൺസിഡേർഡ് ടു ബി നോട്ട് കണ്ട്യൂസീവ് ഫോർ ഇറ്റ് ക്രിയേറ്റ്സ് തമോഗുണം ഇൻ ദ ബോഡി. ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് എ നേച്ചർ ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്. ഇറ്റ്സ് നത്തിങ് യു ക്യാൻ ഡു അബൌട്ട് ഇറ്റ്. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് തമോഗുണം. ആൻഡ് മെനി ഫുഡ് ദർ ഈസ് ഉരദാൽ ഈസ് എൻ ഇൻഗ്രീഡിയൻറ്റ്, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? So, because the reason is that uradal can create, it is considered to be something comparable to meat in the, but although vegetarian, but it is like a, acts like a meat inside, and it's not conducive for austerities. Because it is like that, it will create tamogunam. Therefore, on once you have taken food with a lot of uradal in that, you will feel that laziness inside. That means to perform sandhyavandanam on time may not happen. Sandhyavandanam means all the three times to perform, three sandhyas, they have to do the sandhyavandanam. Brahmanas have to do the sandhyavandanam. Those things won't happen. They will become lazy if you take to uradal. So therefore, from the time of upanayanam right up to samavartanam, they normally they don't take uradal for anything. So that is all they have found out, the rishis, and the and they have advised us that this is how you. So now, just because the brahmanas are like that doesn't mean others cannot do it. Others are also allowed to do that. It will help them. Those who wants to make their spiritual life successful, it helps if they take to this instruction seriously and if they can implement it in their life. So like this, they lived everything, they lived their life with a complete discipline and control on their own eating habits. ഗതം ഗതം സർവം ഉപേക്ഷണീയം, സേസ് ആയാതം ആയാതം അപേക്ഷണീയം. ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഇഫ് യു ഡു ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്, ആഹാരം സാത്വികപ്രിയം, ആഹാരം സാത്വികപ്രിയം. സോ വട്ട് എവർ ദാറ്റ് വാസ് വാട്ട് വി ഹാവ് ഫൗണ്ട് നോട്ട് ഫേവറബിൾ ഫോർ സ്പിരിച്വൽ പ്രോഗ്രസ്, ഉപേക്ഷണീയം. ആൻഡ് വട്ട് എവർ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഫേവറബിൾ ഫോർ അഡ്വാൻസിങ് ഇൻ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ് ഈസ് abhekshaniyam. It should be taken on board. So these decisions, we can't write a book on it and say to everybody that this is all, the whole thing is this, it won't work, because every individual is different. Everyone has to find their own process of eating, cooking and ingredients, everything. He has to make his own decisions, and he has to know what is helping him in his own spiritual life and in developing sattvagunam. Because ahara shuddhau sattvashuddhi, it leads to sattvashuddhi. And sattvashuddhi means what? It will develop into chittashuddhi, means this knowledge of the self will easily develop in that person. So we talked about rajasapriyam earlier, and rajasa, the nature of the rajasam is depression or disease and melancholy and habits like that. And dukkha shokha bhaya pradaha, Krishna says like that, isn't it? So if that goes inside, that kind of food goes inside, he will become like that. Rajasic nature will come. And tamasam is the last words he said, that katvamla levana atyushna tishna rucha vidahina ahara rajasasyeshta dukkha shokham maya pradaha, dukkha shokham maya pradaha. And then yatayamam gadarasam puri parishidam chayad uchishtam abhijamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam, bhojanam tamasapriyam. Krishna mentions like that. So this rajasam nature, Krishna says here, if it has gone inside, it will be like this. He will lose his strength. To what kind of strength? Not for fighting, physical fight, but that strength for determination for spiritual life, for spiritual advancement, it will go away from him. Then Krishna says here, these kind of things, if one is taken care of, Krishna says, Finally, he says that Pudi Parishidam Chayat Uchishtam Api Chayat. There he says here, Yadayamam, what we keep it, Yadayamam basically means what is kept in the fridge. If you talk about in the modern context, what's kept in the fridge, isn't it? So, there was a famous sannyasi who lived in Haridwar, Ram Sukhdev Das. Ram Sukhdev, must have heard about him, if you'll see, a famous sannyasi he was. Gadarasam, he mentions this, that in his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita Bhashyam, he mentions there that he says that Pudi means that those who are eating those kind of food, they will smell badly. And those who, when you get closer to him, that smell will be irritating. And you can give the example that if you sweat a lot, after a while you smell, isn't it, from the sweat. And that person is saying, don't come closer to me, I am smelling. So similarly, when you have developed such food habits, all the senses in the body, it will tell you, don't come closer, don't come closer. That is why, and this is the logic in the naturopathy. Naturalists will say like this, that's an undeniable logic. They say that onions, for example, if you bring it closer to the eye, water starts coming from the eye. Eye is saying to us, don't bring it closer to me, I don't want it. Isn't it? So, and so, therefore, sometimes as a medicine it is taken, but not otherwise. And in the hot weather, sometimes people carry onions in a packet. Because if it is excessively hot, and they say that if you take this sawala or onions, it helps for the heat, they say like that. So that is another thing, but we are concerned about the mind, about the subtle body. Therefore, daily life, we have to look at ourselves and see what is right for us. And so such things are different, but sadhana or sadhaka's life is different. So for sadhana reasons, Krishna is saying we have to avoid them. We have to avoid them. So probably for health it may be okay, but for sadhana it's not okay. Adhyatma means shanti. And if it creates rajogunam inside, it's causing obstacle for you in your spiritual life. And that is what Krishna says, Pudi, Parirushitam, Uchishtam. All these things are not allowed. And these things we have to tell the children when they are small itself, never to eat the leftover from others. Leftover from the others. Sometimes when you see the school children, what they do, when you see that because they have not been told these things properly, they eat different things and they'll say to the friend, you have a bite. All these things are particularly very, very bad things to do. So, and rishis have told us this, not to do such things, not to eat the remnants of others. And also, and that should go inside as a culture in a person. And Krishna refers to that, uchishtam abhijamedhyam, all these kinds of things, of course, meat, fish and eggs and all other things. If they go inside, more or less, it won't work in the normal way. It will come, as Krishna calls it, as amedhyam. Amedhyam it is. And apicha. And then if introducing new food products, like the bakery items and things like that. Krishna did not mention bakery here because in Krishna's time, bakery didn't exist. That is the reason. I can only say that's the reason that they didn't mention about the bakery here. So, what's going inside that bakery things, we don't know. Appearance, it looks very nice. It's written on there, happy birthday and everything on that. All fantastic things written there. But as far as Satugunam is concerned, it is not helpful. It is not helpful. And we can see this in the these kind of things, cakes and all other things, what we make it in that way, which is made not fresh, but prepared in such a way that all ingredients that goes inside and sold in the market for days together. And he's dressed up nicely and he sits inside the glass house ready to be sold. And that is to be avoid it. After all, Krishna is saying, taste is only up to this. Once it has finished this part, then what taste? Only when you eat it and up comes to this, to the throat, up to that, you will talk about the taste. Is it not? But once it has crossed that throat, gone down further, whatever may be the food, there is no taste involved in there, isn't it? And is it necessary to struggle so much for that? That's the question. So, when you are hungry, we have to eat some food. We have to drink some water. And more than that, why do we have to endeavor too hard in that direction? If it is like that, aharam will be satvigam. If we follow this principle, all the acharyas do that. They will not go and spend the whole day cooking in the kitchen to prepare a whole lot of food. Because they, as far as they are concerned, what is necessary for maintaining this body and to develop sattva-gunam? That is all the importance of food is concerned. And so once it so happened that in a prasadam hall, people are taking prasadam. Few people are taking prasadam there. So a sannyasi walked in there. He asked the first person that, what are you sitting for? What are you sitting here for? He said, for taking my prasadam. He asked the second person. He also said the same thing. He said, I'm sitting here for prasadam. And the third person, he also said, I'm sitting here for prasadam. Fourth one, he said, everybody said that I'm sitting here for prasadam. The fourth one said that, I am eating for to sit in the world, to stay in this world. So only the one person could answer that properly. So you can see people's attitude changes, is it not? And this is very explicitly you can see among devotees and all of us, that in prasadam we give much more, everybody will be there. But it is very difficult for that, is it not? So, in that, what is Krishna is saying here also, that we have to live in this, we have to eat to live in this world. Everybody understood the meaning of that, that we are not living in this world to eat, we are eating to live. So, jiveta yavata, in the Bhagavatam it says, remember that? Where does he say? If you look, Sri Narada Maharshi's instructions to Yudhishthira. Jiveta yavata, he says there. Jiveta yavata. That is the most important thing. Jiveta yavata. In the 7th canto, if you look in that 14th chapter, he will say this to Arjuna, to Yudhishthira. He says, Yudhishthira, you have to eat food only for living in this world. Only for living in this world. Eighth verse. Yavad Briyeda Jadharam Tavad Satvam Hi Dehinam Adhigam Yobhi Manyeda Sasteno Dandamarhati. Narada Maharshi's words. Yaval Briyeda Jadharam Tavad Satvam Hi Dehinam Adhigam Yobhi Manyeda Sasteno Dandamarhati. Dandamarhati. He has to be beaten, he says. If he is eating more than what he has to eat. So, we have a right for food in this world. We have a right for, everybody has a right to live in this world. But, what he says here, Tavad Sattvam Hi Dehinam. Tavad Sattvam Hi Dehinam means, he is entitled for his food in this world. Adhigam Yobhim Anyeda. But he is taking more than what is necessary to maintain the body, sasteno dandamarhati, he should be beaten. He should be beaten. Now, you can't say higher socialism than this, a better socialism than this. That means what is necessary, food, everybody has a right to have it. If he is taking more than that, he has to be beaten, he says, sasteno dandamarhati. He should be beaten with a danda. You should be beaten. So, you can't say anything better than this. No higher communism or socialism than this. What Narada Maharshi is saying there. Isn't it? So, in such a way, Krishna, Narada Maharshi has mentioned this to to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So, after this aharam, Krishna turns into yajnam. The next important thing is yajnam. Because after eating proper aharam, we have got the strength for spiritual life in the body as well as the mind. If aharam is properly adjusted in the way Krishna has spoken, that will give that determination inside and the strength inside in the mind and the subtle body for engaging in spiritual path, in spiritual life. And once it is, and also you will get a body free from diseases, disease-free body. If one that has happened, then the next thing what one has to do is tapasya. Tapasya. After we have got control of the body as well as the mind, and that is what is the goal of all this control of food, food habits. Sattugunam has grown inside. And if sattugunam has grown inside, then chittashuddhi has happened, then it will give the enough power for tapasya and yajnam. For tapasya and yajnam. So you can see how that sequence it works. Sequence it works. So, all of this Krishna is saying here is meant for chittashuddhi. Chittashuddhi. And if the chittashuddhi happens, then alpajnanam, knowledge of the self, you can easily find it. You can easily acquire that. So, all these things what Krishna has spoken here is keeping these things in the mind. You know, in a gradual way to elevate a person on the spiritual path. First thing spoken about the devata, how one should worship, how we choose that devata whom one should worship, and how our shraddha due to sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam will go into different devatas based on the mode of worship. It will become prominent in our consciousness. That particular devata will become important for a person. And that will be very difficult to change easily what comes inside. Secondly, Krishna spoke that aharam is important, particularly in the sattugunam, those who are performing sadhana. If these two things are done properly, that means selection of the devata and selection of the aharam, the food habits, if that is both controlled properly, it will lead into what Krishna says there, that it will give you enough determination inside and strength inside in the body, as well as the mind, that you will make plans for the spiritual life further from that. And that requires three things. Krishna is going to say tapasya, yajnam, dhanam. First thing is tapasya, yajnam, and then dhanam. Isn't it? So, and that will lead into chittashuddhi. That will lead into chittashuddhi. So, devata, aharam, tapasya, yajnam, dhanam. If all these things have come to a balanced state, like the way Krishna has spoken, that will lead into chittashuddhi. And when chittashuddhi is there, all your sadhana will be very effective. The knowledge of the self in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam will be very, very much influence of thought waves. And in our, it will have realizations, in other words. It will become realized. That is how Krishna is saying here. So, including the prasadam, importance of that is for the sake of realizing the self. Not for maintaining the body, for realizing the self. So, tasmad, Krishna says here, tasmad annam bhagavad sarvarthaha. Shruti says, if he takes annam properly, then pranan will have the ability and it will have the power. And he can perform tapasya austerity. He will become a jnani. He will become a jnani. That depends on the, of course, other things as well. But this is the, from Shraddha point of view, what Krishna has spoken here, one has to take notice of. Obviously, when all these things are spoken, you also have to bear in mind that the vasanas, what we have brought with us from the previous life, has also got its influence. So, many, many great souls, they have, if you look into their life, for example, Maharshi's life, if you look at the age of 16 itself, he left home and wandered around and came to a place called Tirukoyilur, where he went before he came to Thiruvannamalai. And because he was not eating anything, he had nobody offered giving him any food, he dropped, fell unconscious and fell down in front of a house. And it so happened, the place where he fell down, there were some devotees who were living there in that house. And that also happened, it was a Janmashtami day when this incident happened. When he left home and he came to Thiruvannamalai, on the way he had to catch a train, he didn't have any money and he won't eat anything outside. All the time his mind was absorbed in worship of Shiva. But when he got this village, those days there was no transport facilities like today. He had to catch train and then he had to catch a bus and get there. But he hasn't had enough money, so he was walking a lot of distance to get to the Thiruvannamalai temple. So on the way, on a place called Tirukoyilur, he fell unconscious and died in a village, fell on the ground. And it so happened, in that particular day was Janmashtami day, and there was a Brahmana family who lived in a house there, who were devotees, who were celebrating Janmashtami, and when they saw that, they took him inside, and they prepared a nice feast and gave it to him, and which gave him a lot of energy and fed him very much full. And they also gave packed a lot of sweets and gave it to him, and they also gave him the money for the train fare to go to Thiruvannamalai. So they didn't know at that time it was this boy, 16-year-old boy, who was going to become Ramana Maharshi later. And they never thought about it, spoke about it. They just did what they had to do and they did that. Much later, they came to know that he has become a sage, and they didn't know that they were giving the food to him. So similarly, what we have to understand is that we don't know to whom we are giving food. We don't know to whom we are giving food. So that without any discrimination, we have to give food to people without any discrimination. But nowadays, it is a habit with many householders. They will invite those sannyasis who are famous. Famous sannyasis. Is there anywhere mentioned that only they should be given food? It's not mentioned anywhere, is there? But they will invite famous sannyasis to invite them home. And if somebody comes from the street who is hungry and asks for food, you won't give it to him. But he will take all the trouble to invite a famous sannyasi or a guru and bring them home, wash his feet and feed him nicely. But if a man, ordinary person on the street comes saying, I'm hungry, he won't give any food to him. So that is how it is. This is the world, lack of understanding, isn't it? And everything is business like that these days. So that is another important thing. So it's 9:30. We'll have a break.
Chedo darpana marjanam bhavamahadavagni nirvavanam shreya kaitava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandambudhi vardhanam purnamrada swadanam sarvatna swapanam param vijayate shri krishna sankirtanam namnamakari bahuda nija sarva shakti తత్రార్పితా నియమితా స్మరణేన కాలా ఏదాదృశీ తవ కృపా భగవన్ మమాభి దుర్దైవమీదృశమిహాజని ననురాగాః ప్రణారభి శునీచేన అరోరభి సహిష్ణునా అమానినా మానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదాహరి నధనం నజనం నసుందరీం కవితాం వా జగదీశకామయే మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరీ భవదాద్ భక్తిరహై దుగిత్వై అయి నంద తనూజ కింకరం పతితామాం విషమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాద పంకజ స్థిత దూళీ సదృశం చిందయ నయనం గలద శ్రుధారయ వదనం గద్గద రుద్ధయా గిరా పులకైర్నిచితం కదావభూ తవం నామ గ్రహణే భవిష్యది యుగాయుధం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయుధం శూన్యాయుధం జగల్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహే నమే ఆశ్లిష్య వా పాదరదాం పినష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం వర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తదా వా విదదాదులం వడో మత్రాణ నాథాస్తు నైవ నాపరా.
So far, Krishna has spoken about Devata and Aharam, isn't it? For the worship of the Devata and the food, what we take in our sadhana stage, that is what is important. It's all with respect to the, all linked to the sadhana, to the spiritual goal. It's not linked to your bodybuilding or health, or that's not the important thing. Krishna is saying these type of food is very conducive for spiritual life and keeping the, not only the gross body healthy, but also the subtle body healthy. That's what the idea behind that. So, in every situation, as Krishna mentions, that aharam should be sattvikam, and also when the prasadam is offered to Krishna, that is another aspect of that. That the food that is offered to Krishna, if it is taken as prasadam, it will develop chitta shuddhi inside. It must be taken only as prasadam. That is the most important thing. Whether it is through jnana margam or bhakti margam, it doesn't matter. That stress is on that. Knowing very well, Antaryami inside is eating. He is the one who is going, because it's him who is digesting it. That means he is eating it, isn't it? Antaryami inside is digesting the food. Vaishwanaran. Vaishwanaran is another form of Antaryami. So Antaryami is another form as Vaishwanara is the one who has to digest it. So he is eating it, in other words. With that understanding, if you adjust the food in proper way, what Krishna has spoken, sattvikam, that is what he mentioned, the three words. Rasya snigdha hrida sthira hridya. Those three things. Rasya snigdha sthira hridya. Four things. They are important. Aharam sattvika priyam. Such a food is desirable and acceptable to Antaryami as Vaishwanara. And that will get digested and that will develop satugunam in a person. Krishna has mentioned that. So therefore, everything should be offered and should be taken with that understanding. And if it is taken like that, then it is prasadam. Then it is prasadam. If it is, for a jnani, it is taken in this understanding that that Antaryami is taking it and Vaishwanara is digesting it. I am not eating it. Antaryami is eating it. If that full conviction, not for my tongue, but for the satisfaction of the Antaryami. In that case, it is prasadam. Or in the devotee's case also, if it is offered to the Antaryami's happiness, if it is consumed like that, it is prasadam. So, so sometimes we can see that all the time, prasadam is linked with Krishna. So, sometimes when we give prasadam to others, because this is all different aspects of the prasadam. How we cook the prasadam, important. Ingredients we select for prasadam, important. How we serve the prasadam, important. Very important. And while serving, what one has to be careful about. Certain instances you can see. Sometimes we give prasadam to the people, and then we say that, oh, he has come for food, and not in that consciousness. It has to be given with a full heart. That while giving prasadam to that person, it is the Antaryami inside that person is getting pleased with the prasadam. Only in that understanding prasadam should be served. Not to please you, but please that Antaryami inside you. That is the goal. Because Antaryami is the person who is accepting it, that prasadam. And therefore, sometimes you can see when you go on holy places, there will be a lot of poor people there who hasn't got a steady income, or they are completely dependent on the donations what public gives to them. So when you give donations to them, you are cursing them and giving to them, take this money and don't bother me. And that way, giving money, that's also not good, because then some in the modern world, this concept that you have to work very hard and earn your living and all that, we preach very strongly about that, isn't it? You are not doing any work, why should you eat? This kind of questions will come up. That's wrong.
Everybody has a right to eat in this food, whether you're working or not, not working, doesn't matter. Everybody has a right to eat for the food. So certain instances, you can see this, that then you curse them and give them something. And why you're bothering us? That's not good, because reason is this, that you have to think like that. At least he is satisfied with whatever little you are giving them. He is not coming and competing with you for the job, as though we are doing some wonderful things in this world. And we have got all the right to live, and they don't have any right to live in this world. This is the attitude. For many people have that. So, you are of no use to this world, they say. So that means you have no right to eat the food. As though we are of great use to this world. Our presence in this world has done a lot of good things in this world. So, actually, in Bhumi Devi, when she talks about her weight, what she has to carry, we are all included in that. The heavy burden, what she has to carry with us. As far as Bhumi Devi is concerned, from us, is not of much benefit to her either. And ordinary people, big people, they are all equal in that way. So that is keeping all these things in the perspective is the next topic, Yajnam. Why Yajnam is spoken. While talking about Aharam, we have misled about Aharam itself. We are so misled about it, and we make the wrong judgment, and we take wrong decisions about Aharam is concerned. Who has got the right to eat, and who has not got the right to eat. We make the decisions based on this modern world influence. Modern world is telling that if you are not working hard and earning your living, you have no right to eat. This is their philosophy in that way. But that is not right. That is not, even if you are well, even if you are capable of working, if you have managed to escape from this madness of karma, you are supposed to be fortunate. You should actually glorify them, those who have managed to escape from this madness. But instead we say that, look, you are not working, so you don't have any right to eat. That's wrong. So Krishna is saying here that we have to always remember that as much as they are not of much use in our eyes, in the eyes of Krishna, we are also not of much use to this world. We are also a burden here. Like Kamsa, like Shishupala and Dandavakra, we are not much different than that. All our activities are concerned. So, even big people, very rich people they may be, and they may have a lot of great qualifications and wealth and everything. As far as Krishna is concerned, Krishna's point of view, they are also not of much use to this world. Not of much use to this world. Therefore, that Krishna is going to stress the next one is Yajnam. Why Yajnam is so important? Because if you are taking Aharam, food, then you should have Yajnam in life. Yajnam is equally important. So, what is the purpose of Yajnam? Yajnam means, because of the Yajnam that is happening in the material nature, Prakriti, that is why we are getting food. That's the first principle to understand how it works. How Prakriti works, how we get the food from that. Because Prakriti runs it as a Yajnam. Runs it as a Yajnam. Sun is engaged in a Yajnam. Sun is performing a Yajnam. The ocean is engaged in a Yajnam. The clouds are engaged in a Yajnam. And in this way, you can see there is a whole process of Yajnam happening in the society. Yajnam happening in the society. That Yajnam is called the wheel of Yajnam or wheel of Dharmam. It is referred to as wheel of Dharmam. Why is it called the wheel of Dharmam? You will see, of course, these things are there symbolically now. Like in the India's national flag, if you look, you will see a wheel in the middle, isn't it? What does that wheel mean? Where did that wheel coming from? They call it as Ashoka Chakram. Ashoka's wheel, they call it. But even before Ashoka, that wheel existed. That wheel is actually the representation of Dharmam. What does that wheel indicate? Wheel is that, that to indicate to us that the whole life is in this world is like a wheel based on sacrifice. Based on sacrifice. And it begins with food. Begins with food. Annad bhavandi bodhani parjanyad anna sambhava. Yajnyal bhavadi parjanyam. Yajnakarma Samulbhava. Krishna says in the third chapter, isn't it? So, the Sanatana Dharma is based on this principle that everything sacrificing all the time for others, without thinking of the self-interest. That is Yajnam. That is Yajnam. This sacrificing nature is called Yajnam. Constantly sacrificing in life everything for the benefit of others. But when it becomes a ritual, we call it as Yajnam. It's a ritual in which everything that is best is sacrificed for the benefit of others. So, normally the concept is that the Agni, fire god, he takes what is offered into the fire and takes it to the devas. Remember when we discussed Bhagavad Gita, I mentioned this. I don't know whether you have reflected on that or not. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman Parityajya comes at the very, very end of Bhagavad Gita. And that is for those who are very advanced in spiritual life, not for a beginner or a starter. If a starter goes under Sarvadharman Parityajya, he will fall. He won't be able to stay. You can see that in your own life if you look at people. Those who have done Sarvadharman Parityajya as a starter in spiritual life, he cannot do it. It's not possible. That is why in Bhagavad Gita, if you look, Krishna who spoke to Arjuna in the beginning, Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayanduva parasparam bhavayanda prema paramavapsyata. There is a verse in the third chapter. Krishna is saying that initially, before we come to spiritual life, you have a relationship with the higher living entities, devadas. And mutually you have to help each other, and that is where yajnam is necessary. One who has purified oneself with yajnam, with surrender to the higher, these principles, what Krishna has spoken in the initial six chapters, then you move on to the next phase in life, which is referred to as the worship of the Antaryami, bhakti. That is what is spoken at that time. So through karmam purification, come to the platform of bhakti. Through bhakti, further purification, and comes to the platform of knowledge, where you surrender everything, and that is where Sarvadharman Parityajya will work. Otherwise, it won't work. People will say Sarvadharman Parityajya. It's easy to say this, but in how many life it's happening? Even those who are preaching, they don't fully understand that, the secret behind that. Sarvadharman Parityajya Mameka Sharanam Raja is not a simple statement. There is a lot of things before that to happen in life before one is ready. So, Krishna is saying in the earlier chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, you can see there that this yajnam, that normally yajnam is and tyagam, there is two things, words separately in the Bhagavad Gita. In the earlier chapters, it's all yajnam. In the final chapter, it is tyagam. Krishna talks about tyagam. That will come in the next chapter. So, these two words, yajnam and tyagam, has two different meanings. But in English, when you translate, it's only one word, sacrifice. Isn't it? You have to deal with the sacrifice. Because this principle of yajnam and tyagam has not been understood in the other philosophies. They have not understood that. So, so for following the dharmam, one has to take care of his life in this world and live in this world. So, after giving to others, what remains to be used for oneself and simple life, that is allowed. That is allowed. Even then it should be considered as a prasadam. Prasadam. That means the devas has to be provided, the demigods, the devadas, that's what it says. Devan bhavayatanena tevadeva bhavayanduva. So many sacrifices mentioned in the Vedam is for the sake of pleasing the demigods for their satisfaction. So Vedam says to us that everything should be first offered. If you look into Ishopanishad, the first of all the Upanishads, Ishavasam idam sarvam tena tektuena bunchida magrida kasya siddhanam, isn't it? Ishavasam idam sarvam yet kincha jagatyam jagat tena tektuena bunchida magrida kasya siddhanam. So the first line in the first Upanishad itself is Ishavasam idam sarvam. Everything belongs to Krishna. And a person cannot get this feeling of satisfaction and fullness if he is enjoying everything himself without giving it to others, without giving it to others. And therefore, when Krishna says about that wheel of dharmam, wheel of yajnam, which is spoken in that third chapter in detail, we will talk about that, that you can see there, it begins with food. It begins with food. That life originates from food, Krishna is saying. Anad bhavandi bhutani. All living entities come from food. And that food is to be, because the life is born from the food, it gets the first aspect in this wheel. In this wheel, the first thing is starting from this annam. It is compared to a wheel because the wheel is rotating all the time and it's moving. In spiritual life also, our spiritual life, wheel of spiritual life will keep moving if we understand this cycle, what Krishna has spoken here. So that cycle, he says, Krishna is saying there, Annan bhavandi bhudani parjanyad. Bhudam, living entities survive because of annam. And that annam is produced by rain. So, due to the rain only, Krishna is saying, food comes from rain. Food comes from rain. Food comes from rain. And this rain comes from yajnam. Rains comes from yajnam. And so there, that you can see there, the rain to yajnam is the third in the chain. The first one is the annam. Second one, first one is the annam, and then the rain, and then from the rain comes the yajnam. Rain comes from the yajnam. So in a sequence it goes, annam comes from the rain, comes from yajnam. These three things are closely connected. And these things, Krishna's point is, I have set it up in such a way that that will keep functioning irrespective of what you do. It is independent of you. Krishna has set it up that way. It's a very fundamental of that wheel's movement. So, as mentioned earlier, according to Krishna's command, the devadas who are present there, when we talk about devadas, all the natural forces like the rain, the sun, the wind, the fire, the earth, all of them, they are all personified forms. They are the one, they function according to Krishna's command. According to Krishna's command, they function in this world, isn't it? And what is being offered to them is what we offer through the fire in the yajnam. When we offer through the yajnam, it is these different agents, Krishna's agents, who are present in the creation, they all get pleased. It is their food that what we are offering through them, through the yajnam. In return, they give several good things for us, particularly rain, which is necessary for growing the food. That's what that verse is saying. Devan bhavayadadena te deva bhavayanduva parasparam bhavayanda prema parama vapsyatha. Krishna says that, isn't it, in the third chapter. That third chapter, you have to go back and revisit the whole thing. Because it is 11th verse in the third chapter. Then, ishtan bhogan hivo deva dasyande yajna bhavidaha ter daityan apradayaibhyo yo bhungte stena evasa. Krishna is saying there, very heavy words there. Those who are not performing yajnam, who are simply taking from the society and living on his own without offering anything in return to the society, but he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief, Krishna says. And then, yajna shishtashina sando muchyande sarvakil bishaihi. Then, bunjadetum akham bhavam epachandi atmakaranan. Lot of things. Devotees of the Lord are released from the kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment merely eat only sin. And so life has to be a yajnam. That is the goal. Annad bhavandi bhudani, next verse, parjanyad anna sambhava. Yajna bhavadi parjanyam, yajna karma samabhava. So all over in that chapter, Krishna spoke about yajnam. Is it not? And if you go back into that 16th verse, you will see, evam pravartidam chakram nanuvartayati haya അഖായുരിന്ദ്രിയ രാമോ മോഹം പാർത്ഥ സജീവതി. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ചക്രം. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഫ്രം ദിസ് ചക്രം, യജ്ഞചക്രം, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് വാട്ട് ഹസ് കം ഇൻ ടു ദാറ്റ് വീൽ ഇൻ ദ ഫ്ലാഗ്. ദാറ്റ്സ് വെയർ ഇറ്റ്സ് കമ്മിങ് ഫ്രം, ദ ഒറിജിൻ ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ്, വെയർ ദ വീൽ ഇൻ ദ ഫ്ലാഗ് ഹസ് കം ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ്. സോ ഇൻ ദി ഏൻഷ്യന്റ് ടൈംസ് ഋഷീസ് വാട്ട് ദേ ഹാവ് സെറ്റ് അപ്പ് സെർട്ടൻ തിങ്സ് ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് വിൽ എവർ ചേഞ്ച്, ഇറ്റ് വിൽ റിമെയിൻ. ഓഫ് കോഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദി മോഡേൺ വേൾഡ് പീപ്പിൾ ഡോണ്ട് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ്, ഓ വീൽ, ഇറ്റ് ലുക്സ് നൈസ് എ വീൽ ദേർ, ബട്ട് ദേ ഡോണ്ട് അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് വാട്ട് ദാറ്റ് വീൽ ഈസ് representing. The wheel is representing this important thing, that the whole prakriti is running in this world like a yajnam, and that wheel of yajnam must continue, and that is the purpose of the spiritual knowledge. Spiritual purpose is like that. So Krishna is saying here, rain comes from yajnam. In order to have rain, we have to please the devadas who are responsible for that, and that for that yajnam is required. The result of yajnam is rain. Rain comes from that. So it was, why, how did this yajnam comes? Because it was by converting our karmam to sacrifice. Karmam to sacrifice, that is called yajnam. When you convert our karmam to sacrifice, which is combined with the power of mantra, that is how yajnam has come. Now Yajurvedam is full of yajnam. Various yajnams are spoken in the Yajurvedam. So Krishna is saying there that this yajnam, the principle of yajnam is that you have karmam anyway in this world, but that karmam should be turned into yajnam through the power of mantram. Through the power of mantram. That is Yajurvedam. Yajurvedam is all about that, isn't it? Therefore, yajnam from karmam is the fourth in the chain. So first we have the food, the second is the rain, third is the yajnam, and fourth is the karmam. Fourth is the karmam. Now, where is the karmam? What is that karmam? Karmam is when it is acquired through the greatness of the mantra. It is from the Vedas. Karmam from Veda is the fifth in the chain. So karmam should be executed only based on the Vedam. Based on the Vedam. That is the strict injunction of the Vedam. But when it came to Bhagavad Gita, I mentioned many times before, Krishna has made some concessions. That he did not say exactly where the karmam in the Vedam is. He mentioned that karmam should be turned into karma yogam. Karma yogam, isn't it? So karmam from the Vedam has two aspects to it. One aspect based on the sacrifices, like the way big adhiratram, agnishtomam, vajapeyam, and many big sacrifices. On the other side, that karmam, when you turn your karmam into a yogam, karma yogam, like the way Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, that also becomes a yajnam. And that means that comes from the Vedam. So Vedam is the next one in the cycle. First one, the food. Food comes from the rain. Rain comes from the yajnam. Yajnam comes from the karmam. And karmam comes from the Vedam. From Vedic injunction, based on the Vedic injunction. And where does Vedam come from? Vedam comes from Krishna. Vedam comes from Krishna. So, and that completes the cycle. That is completing the cycle. So, this is that wheel. Wheel has to go through this cycle, will carry on in this world, whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not, it will keep going. This cycle will continue. And that is the, Krishna is saying there, that it is only on this principle, this creation is working. Otherwise, creation cannot go on like this, the way it is going on. The food comes from the rain, rain comes from yajnam, yajnam comes from karmam, karmam comes from the Vedam, and Vedam comes from Krishna. Veda from Paramatma. So that is the effect of all these things. So after saying all these things, Krishna is saying here that if you look at all who are involved in this, for example, sun is involved, isn't it? For the, so he is performing his yajnam there, constantly taking the water from the ocean or river tanks or wells or whatever it is, he is taking the water and with the heat converted them into clouds. And he turned them into clouds, and air carried the clouds to the places where it's required, for the rain is required. And at that time, not that we have paid the taxes, he is giving the rain. Sun is doing all these things, isn't it? Sun is doing that on his own, without even asking us, without asking anything from us. That is a yajnam. He's not expecting anything from us But he is performing that yajnam. That is a yajnam. So looking at the nature, we have to get this understanding. Life is meant for a yajnam. Sun is supposed to be the head of the in the jnana margam, isn't it? Mentions imam vaivasvade yogam proktavan aham avyayam. Krishna instructed this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to sun god first. So he is the topmost person in the knowledge path, path of knowledge. So he is performing yajnam. Then if you come air, vayu, he is performing yajnam, taking the clouds where it is necessary. Not due to that we have paid taxes, it's happening, or by our Surya Namaskaram, or we have done anything like that. So you can see, we don't look at the sun, we look at other things. Our attention is somewhere else, isn't it? So the water that turns into cloud is supplied by the ocean. Ocean supplies the water for that. And that is a yajnam. Ocean performing a yajnam. Wind is performing yajnam, ocean is performing a yajnam. But we do not look at these things in the nature. Once it so happened that one of these IT companies, somebody was working there. And this IT company's office happened to be very close to the seashore. So somebody asked him, where is the sea? He immediately pressed the button and showed the sea in the computer. The sea was there outside. He was not looking. That means his vision is so conditioned by the computer that he could not see anything. We are all like that. Our attention is all in the objects what is around us. We are not looking and giving any attention to the nature. That is what Krishna is saying here. Then to that extent, our drishti, vision, has gone in a wrong way. So today, if Krishna comes and stands in front of us, we won't see him. We don't know you, we'll say. I don't know. Nobody has introduced you to us. We'll say that. So like the air, he takes it, and what has been converted into clouds by the sun, vayu or air, he distributes that. That is another yajnam. Vayu is doing that, isn't it? And again, those clouds, due to the sunshine, it starts raining. It starts raining. It converts and comes back as rain again, isn't it? And when it comes as rain, Mother Earth is taking it, accepting that. That is another yajnam. And all the other vegetables and grains which are lying in the earth in the form of seed, bijarupam, bijam, that aushadhi they are called, they grow, take birth from that, and they are given a favorable atmosphere. So who are all cooperating? You can see here. The sun is cooperating. The ocean is, water is cooperating. Air is cooperating. And earth is cooperating. They are all cooperating to complete this cycle, this chakram, isn't it? That is what Krishna is saying. Evam pravartidam chakram nanu vartaya dehaya. That chakram, you should look at it, how that chakram is operating. And those vanaspati or food that has come like that from the earth, it grows and remains as food for us, ready for us to eat. Is it not? We completely ignore this side of it. We think, why we should worry about that when you can buy food in the open market at low prices? Why should we produce food? This is the slogan these days. Is it not? Because modern economy is based on these wrong ideas. Modern economy is completely false because it's based on exploitation of others rather than seeing the reality of life. Reality of life is, Krishna is saying to us that food is the most important thing in life, as he explained before, ahara satyuga priya. And that food, if you don't give any importance to it, but if you can buy in the open market at low prices, whether it's produced in America or Australia or somewhere else, all these principles are completely against the principle of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's point is that look at the nature, how the nature is working. The sun is sucking taking the water from the sea, convert them into clouds, air transport the clouds to different places, and sun again allows that to rain in a particular place, and earth gets the benefit. The fertile earth, who has got all the seeds of all the different vegetables and grains there, They take birth from that and they produce the food and they offer it to you. Krishna's point is that. Do you not see this cycle? He's saying, evam pravartitam chakram. So that chakram is working there, and this is working continuously in the nature. Especially if you look at that verse, the 14th and the 15th verse, Krishna is saying, anan bhavandi bhudani parjanyad anna sambhava yajnyal bhavadi parjanyam yajnya karma samulbhava. And karma brahmolbhavam vidhi brahmakshara samulbhavam tasmal sarvagadam brahma nityam yajnye pradishtidam. Nityam yajnye pradishtidam. Krishna is saying the whole production of food, everything is based on yajnyam. He says, if yajnyam is not there, there won't be any food. Even if it is animals, they are also dependent on this food, isn't it? So, nityam yajnye pradishtidam. That is an important statement Krishna is making there. If sun, the ocean, the water, the wind, and the earth, if they all don't cooperate together, there won't be food, would they? If they don't cooperate together, there won't be any food in this world. So, because of their yajnyam, food is produced. You are not even seeing these things, Krishna is saying. The whole tasmin, he says, nityam yajnye pradishtidam. It is dependent on yajnyam. Karma brahmolbhavam vidhi, brahma akshara samulbhavam, tasmal sarvagadam brahma, yantyam yajnye pradishtidam. It is based on yajnyam. So in the prakriti, in the material nature, without doing yajnyam, nobody can live here. Nobody can live here. And the principle when it comes to human being is, if our false ego completely leaves us, then whatever we do will become yajnyam. Whatever we do, become yajnyam. Natural way, it will become yajnyam. So, the powers in the prakriti, which are present in the prakriti, these ones, what we have spoken about, sun is representing fire, agni. Then ocean is water. Other air is the wind. And then earth is the, bhumi, earth, yes. So earth, water, air, fire, all of these elements, they are busy with yajnyam. They are engaged in yajnyam. So Krishna is saying here that these are the powers in the prakriti, material nature. They are the powers, isn't it? They are all performing yajnyam all the time. So, Vayu, Suryan, ocean, and when they see this, Ramachandra says this in the Ramayanam about that in Kishkindha Kandam. He says to Lakshmana, look at this, he says, that these clouds, they come through the sky, and when I see this, he's saying to Lakshmana that they are going to deliver the baby, like the pregnant woman, after 10 months of pregnancy, they are going to deliver the baby in the form of this rain, isn't it? Sarva masadadam garbham bhaskarasya rasayanam, says in the Kishkindha Kandam, Ramachandra says about it like that. That means Ramachandra is pointing out, in the material nature, constantly this yajnyam is going on, and nobody can stand outside this yajnyam. You cannot ignore that and stand away from that. Because one who goes away like that, he is a very sinful person. Kevalakho bhavadi devadivi. So Vedam says, like Krishna mentions there, isn't it? That see, bunjadetu akham babam ye pachandi almakaranal. He says in the verse, in that thirteenth verse. He says that yajna shishtashina sando muchyande sarvakil bishai. Bunjade tu akham pavam e pachandi atmakaranal. So there atma bunjade tu akham pavam. He is eating only pavam, verily the sin, he says there. That e pachandi atmakaranal. So yajnyam, what does that mean? Yajnyam means naturally, in the West, they call it a social service, is it not? Social service. But because that is not how the rishis have seen the yajnyam. Not like social service. Like social service, we do so many things, isn't it? different charities and different kinds of social organizations exist. For as a charity, they function separately. And like you can see Oxfam and many other charities. So these are different understandings. It's not Bhagavad Gita's way. Bhagavad Gita's way is that grihastha, a householder, because they never talk about terms of organizations first. Never in the Bhagavad Gita spoken in terms of an organization. It is directly addressing us individually. How your own life has to become a yajna. Rather than you doing what you like and giving a certain amount for a charity and saying that I have done my yajna. That is not how Bhagavad Gita is giving importance to this also. It's saying that it should be a yajna in such a way, the life has to become a yajna. That means when it comes into Bhagavatam, you can look at it in the 7th canto. Sri Narada Maharshi, when he talks about yajna to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he says to him that whatever a householder receives as an income or whatever food he has produced, from that, whatever he has taken for his own consumptions, whatever that is there, from that, he has to share that with the cats, with the dogs, with the mice, with the snakes even, or whatever you see, the squirrels, the crows, and all of them, they all have a right of share in what you have produced. In what you have produced. So, they have got the right for this. How much our children have got a right for the food to eat, they also have a right to eat. In the 7th canto, if you look, you will see there how Narada Maharshi puts it. He says there, in that 14th chapter, it is the 14th chapter, it's the 9th verse, he mentions that. After that, Yaval Priyade Jadaram, which we have seen before, Taval Swatvam Hi Dehinam Adhigam Yobhimanyeda Nasasteno Dandamarkadi. That is the 8th verse, which we have looked at it before. In the 9th verse, he says, Mrigam Ostram Kharam Markam Khusaripa Srip Kaka Matrigaha Altmanan Putravat Pashel Tairesham Andaram Kiyat. He says all of them, animals, birds, bees, and all of them has a right for food. All of them have a right for food as much as we have the right for food. So even if it is a bug, even he has got a right to live in this world. They should be given. They are all entitled for that. How should we give it to them? Knowing well that inside them is also Krishna is the Antaryami. That is how they should be fed. And that is the main part of yajnam. That is the main part of yajnam. There's a lot of things to learn from this yajnam. We'll come, a few things we'll discuss it here. So, if it is given like that, it becomes Bhagavad Upasana. It is service. It is sadhana to Krishna. If it is done like that. That offering the prasadam to others all the time and make them to take prasadam. No matter, without knowing very well, Krishna is taking prasadam through them. That understanding is important. That understanding is important. It should not be simply a karma we do for the sake of pleasing the public or recognition from the world. It should be done with this understanding that the temples have to provide prasadam for the devotees as well as anybody who comes. Because who takes prasadam? Krishna is Antaryami, inside is taking that prasadam. With that understanding, it should be given. So, earlier we have seen there that bhudam, predam, so many different, even there Krishna is present in them. Krishna is present in them, isn't it? Ye bhudaha prajarandi divanaktam bali michando vidhudasya pratyaha. So, Vaishudeva Bali, there is a Brahmanas perform Vaishudevam. Vaishudevam is a sacrifice they have to perform. Vaishudevam, and that in that Vaishudeva Bali, all of them are given food. All of them are given food. And why do you give them food to all of them? Because it is not worshipping them. What is done is, at that time, looking at them as though Krishna is present in them, as Paramatma. And offering them food. You will see this if you go into the ancient temples where they have, there is a karmam, what they call it as Shri Bhuda Bali. Shri Bhuda Bali means before the offering is done to the deity, the head pujari with one or two assistant pujaris will walk all around the temples. And in all the temples you will see stones at different locations kept. And they are all assistants to Krishna's assistants there. Vishwaksena, for example. A lot of names mentioned there, who are Saptamatrakal. And they are listed in the Shastram. They will all be fed. While feeding them, before being fed to the deity, by feeding them, the understanding is that Krishna, who is Antaryami in everyone, is present in them as well. Present in them as well. Looking at them as Krishna's manifestations and your offering to Antaryami inside, that is the understanding. They are all offered, and after that the main offering to the main deity happens in the temple. This is Vaidikam. In the Vedic system it is like that. So it will benefit them, because many of them who have fallen into some difficult situations, Pretam, Bhutam, they will also get released in that way. Now, to illustrate this, there are two stories mentioned, one in the case of Namadev and the other one in the case of Ekanath, how they acted in these situations. Both of them, great personalities, great devotees. Namadev once was sitting and singing in Abhang in one instance. At that time, he was of course a family man, but he had no time for family life. So wife used to prepare prasadam and take it wherever he was and give it to him. And when she went there with chapati, he was sitting down and absorbed in meditation of Panduranga at that time. So he went there and gave this chapati to him, and also some butter or something separately kept there for him to put it on the chapati. When he was in meditation, a dog came and had bitten this chapati. He didn't even notice it at that time. Bit the chapati and ran away from there. Suddenly he woke up from his meditation. Who? Namadev. Woke up from the meditation. So when he saw that the dog has taken the chapati, he says to the dog, "Don't eat the chapati on its own, because it will hurt your tongue." He's saying to the dog, "I brought some butter with me. Let me put the butter for you," he says, "and to make it softer." So, and then he gave him the butter, and whatever little dal what his wife has brought, he offers that also to the dog. Namadev did this in few instances. And therefore, Krishna has played his time with Namadev in many, many instances. So, point is this, Namadev did not see the dog. Namadev saw Krishna inside that dog, Antaryami. Panduranga has the Antaryami inside. So that vision has happened to many, many big people. Namadev's case, it happened in the dog. Eganath's case, it happened in the donkey. Happened in the donkey. It is amazing story, that Eganath Swami story. Eganath went to Gomukh, which is the starting point beyond Gangotri, it is Gomukh. From there he collected the Tirtham, the water from there, from Gomukh. And he walked all the way from there right up to Rameshwaram, to the Lord Ramachandra worshipped Shiva there, to Rameshwaram. And intention was to bring water from there and to perform Abhishekam for Lord Shiva in Rameshwaram. That was the idea behind it. So while walking, when he had carrying this water from Gomukh, and when he was walking towards Rameshwaram, before he got, not long before Rameshwaram, he had to walk through a desert area, like where there was no water. There he saw a donkey out of thirst dying. The donkey was dying out of thirst. And this water, which he has brought all the way from Gomukh for performing Abhishekam to Shiva, he poured the whole water into the donkey's throat, to the donkey's mouth. He gave it to the donkey. And those who were with Eganath says to Eganath, "What have you done? You went all the way to Gomukh to bring this Tirtham, and you have poured it on to this donkey which was dying there." But that is where you have to see that greatness of Eganath. Eganath is not seeing the donkey. Sarva bhudeshu yappashet bhagaval bhavam atmana Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottamah. That Bhagavadottama vision. You see, Eganath is not seeing the donkey. Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashed Bhagaval Bhavama Alpana Bhudani Bhagavatyesha Savai Bhagavadottama. That Bhagavadottama's vision is they're not seeing the dog, they're not seeing the donkey. They are saying, Ishvara Sarva Bhudanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtadi. That Andaryami who is present inside, when they start seeing like that, that is the way the reaction will be from the devotee. That is what it is saying here. So, they have already decided in everybody inside, it is Krishna is present. They have decided through Shastram. Through Shastram they have decided. So, through this, if this experience, it is an opportunity, particularly while giving prasadam to others, it's an opportunity for those who are giving it to take up, develop this attitude that Krishna has come and it's an opportunity to give them prasadam. If you treat it like that, then you will start seeing in due course that realization will come, because that is how they have done it. Ekanath and many others, of course, they have gone so far ahead that that they are examples for us. You can't imitate them because they have gone so high in their level. So in our bhava mandalam means in our mind, if we cultivate that understanding that giving, so in order to stress this importance, while giving prasadam, also one has to be careful about that. So in the Chandokyam says, Tom Stri, Tom Pumanasi, Tom Kumaraha, that Krishna, you don't know in which form Krishna can come. Krishna can come in any form. And not only that, Krishna is present in everyone as Andaryami. As Andaryami. He is not man, he is not woman, he is not an old person, he is not a young boy. All of them is Krishna at the same time. So, Kumara, Kumari, Vriddha, all of them. In every living entity, he is present as Andaryami inside. So, actually, to give prasadam to that Andaryami is Yajnam. That is how Yajnam to be understood. If you are giving prasadam to that Andaryami inside, to anybody, then it is a Yajnam. Then it is a Yajnam. Because you are not giving that to the food to the dog so that tomorrow it will wag its tail in front of us. Not for that purpose. Or the donkey will get up when it sees us. Not for that purpose. Or if you give it to the crow, that you won't even know which crow you have given to, would you? Because they all look the same. So, we talk about this social service so much, but as far as we are concerned, and all of us, about the human beings, isn't it? We are only concerned about them. And we question that also only those who are working have got the right to eat. That's the wrong principle, is it not? So, here there is no question. Krishna is saying, we are discussing about the human society in general, but there are so many other living entities in this world who do not do any harm to this world. Who doesn't do any harm to this world? They don't manufacture atom bombs, nuclear bombs. They won't engage in terroristic activities. Nothing. And they don't give any pain to anybody. And for their own benefit, only for these animals, only for them to, when they have to eat something, they may attack somebody. Those animals, isn't it? Otherwise, they are all dependent on Prakriti for their living in this world. So many living entities like that. And we take so much pride, oh, I'm maintaining a dog as a pet. And you feel great pride in that, isn't it? There's nothing much importance about it. This pet business is not much important about it. Actually, he doesn't want to stay with you. You are forcing him to stay with you. He wants to go out and have the freedom. You can see this. Sometimes, if you keep your dog at home, he's looking through the window outside. The street dog, which is free, he's wandering around. Seeing its freedom, this one inside is feeling envy. If you look at the face, you can see. Not the dog. Inside the house. He wants to have freedom. He doesn't want your so-called food or best bed or television or air-conditioned room. That's not what he is looking for. He wants his freedom first. Instead, we develop this thing called the pet business and we have brought him forcefully to come and stay with us. We look after you, this, that and the other. And we should tell the world how noble we are with our pet attitude. And we make his life unnecessarily difficult. If you just tell him, you let him go, he will go. He won't come and bother you. But we won't let him go. You know, you'll put him a collar and put a number on that, a name on that, register it down that, and this, that, and the other. So you can see here from this that then they are also particular about which kind of dog you should have. There's so many street dogs wandering around. You won't get them. You want one special one. And that has to be imported from one of the best breed or whatever. Only you have to ask those people who are with them. They'll tell you about their whole pedigree and history and all that thing. So all I'm saying is that they find beauty in all these things, isn't it? So they're saying that the street dogs don't have that beauty. These dogs have got that beauty. That's their conclusions. And they force upon all these things. This is all from the modern understanding of the social service that's coming from. Actually, Shastram doesn't approve any of these things, isn't it? And street dogs, the municipality people will come and catch them and they'll go and kill them. That they are not important. We decide who is important, who's got the right to live, and who hasn't got the right to live. And you see that, it'll feel very sad also that we make that decision, who has got the right to live. If it suits my sense gratification, then you can live. If not, you have no right to live. Many, many street dogs, if you see in India, you will see particularly all in many countries, street dogs wander around. And we think that, oh, why, what are you doing here? You have no right to live here. And if you look at them, you will see they're also very busy running this way, that way. And there's some serious business going on there. They give you an impression like that, you know. But often, this habit now that maintaining these dogs at home in this way and looking after them and thinking that it's a kind of a social service has become very prominent. And sometimes you can see if you take birth in a very, very rich country like America, then you don't have to worry about anything, isn't it? You don't have to work even. Everything is provided. So it's happening now like that in India also, it's happening. And they are trying to provide air-conditioned rooms and car and everything for these dogs to live. And through the window, it's looking outside and seeing the street dogs and feeling envy. Who? This person with this air-conditioned room. So, because it wants freedom. What it wants is freedom. And we have tied him up locked him up inside. And we think that this is happiness, isn't it? Whereas that is not happiness. Let it live, enjoys its freedom. So, we should not upset its life. We shouldn't upset its life. So, and we don't have to impose our values on its life. What we have to do is the worship of Antaryami inside that living being. Yajna yajna vidar yajnam. Yajna sadhana. It is the whole verse in the Vishnu Sahasranamam addressing Krishna as yajnam. That Antaryami inside of any living entity, if you do anything for that Antaryami, it is yajnam. That is the principle. If you do anything for Antaryami in another body, whether it is human body, animal's body, bird's body, no matter which form it is, but if you do anything to please that Antaryami in another body, that is yajnam. That is why yajnyo yajnya vajar yajnyam, yajnyam cho yoga yajnyaha, yajnya sadhanaha, yajnyam dakrat. So, in the Vishnu Sahasranamam, it is a famous verse. You can see there. Verse number is 105. So, and when that yajnam has to stop, Krishna knows that. And if you continuously study this principle of yajnam, if you perform yajnam, that yajnam is controlled by Krishna. When you perform yajnam. And if you continuously do that, what will happen is that Krishna will involve in that, get involved in that. For example, In Mahabali's case, Mahabali was performing a yajnam, isn't it? Mahabali was performing a yajnam. And there, Vamanamurti walked inside and expanded himself with his big figure. And when Vamanamurti came there, initially, Mahabali did not understand who had come. Is it not? Did not understand who had come. But Krishna made him realize who he is when he asked for the 3 feet of land, and Mahabali offered it to him, and then Krishna showed his real form as the Antaryami or Yajna Purusha. He became the shape known as Trivikrama. Trivikrama means through 3 feet he measured the whole thing, isn't it? Whole universe. So, if you perform the Yajna properly, the result will be that Yajna Purusha will reveal himself to you. This is the underlying principle behind that. Because in the person who is performing Yajna, the Antaryami inside him is Krishna. Antaryami inside him is Krishna. So, if you keep on expanding his presence there, that means Krishna, who is present as Antaryami inside, by recognizing him, by performing yajnam. That's what we are doing. That means when you performing yajnam to others, offering everything to others, this Antaryami inside gets pleased with you because you have expanded his domain. Because you are recognizing his, who is present in your heart, as present in everyone else. Is it not? As Antaryami in everybody else. So, if you do like that, Krishna is saying there that this is the basic principle of yajnam, and continuously expanding, recognizing that Antaryami is inside me, and that Antaryami should get pleased by serving him in other bodies. If you do like that, Krishna says it will keep on expanding that understanding. That understanding will keep on expanding. That's the benefit from that. All these different sacrifices, the purpose of that is, first of all, I recognize Krishna present inside as my own, as Antaryami. Then if you continuously engage in yajnam, as Krishna has spoken, this appreciation of Antaryami inside will expand into others as well. Because there also, you are actually recognizing this Antaryami's presence in them. So when that expansion is recognized, Krishna is saying, in your bhava mandalam, in your consciousness, what will happen is, this Antaryami upasana will become perfect. And that is what Krishna is saying in the first verse here, when you look at it. Let's look at that verse. Text 11. Abhalakankshibhir yajnyam vididishtoyamijyate yastavyam eveti mana samadhaya sa sattvika. Abhalakankshibhir yajnyam vididishtoyamijyate yastavyam eveti mana samadhaya sa sattvika. So, first thing Krishna is talking about yajnam. He is saying, what is sattvika yajnam? Krishna says, of abhala kankshibir yajnam. First condition, abhala kankshibir yajnam. Without any expectations doing it. Abhala kankshibir. Without any, those devoid of desire or result. You are not expecting anything from that. Abhala kankshibir yajnam. Then, vididishtoya ijyate, completely based on the shastric injunctions, nothing else. Then, yashtavyam eveti mana, as a matter of duty, and by those who desire no reward, samadhayasa sattvikam. Such a yajnam is considered as sattvikam. Only those yajnam is sattvikam. Everything else is not sattvikam. Only if it is falls in this category. Three things. Abhilakankshibiryajnam. That means no desire for result. No expectation of any results. Yajnam. Vididishtoya ijyade. Completely based on the Shastric injunctions. Not otherwise. Ijyade. Perform. Yashtavyam. Yashtavyam. Certainly. Thus. Mana. Mind. Yashtavyam evedi mana. And that should be the mood in the mind. That's what is important. That means, what is your bhavam inside, in the mind? That is what decides that the yajnam is a proper yajnam or not. What bhavam you have done that. Samadhayasa, samadhayasa satvigam. That is a satvigic yajnam. That's a satvigic yajnam. Krishna is saying here. So, yajnam means, it's not something done once in a way. Not done once in a way. In daily life, yajnam is important. Because this word sacrifice, that's the English translation, comes from the word yajnam, yaj, dadu. So, that is a permanent daily thing as a part of your daily life in this world. For example, in the olden days, older people, in the ancient times, not recent, about say 50, 60 years ago even, the householder, when he gets up in the morning, first he goes to the goshala. If he is keeping cows at home, then he will take grass with him and feed the cows first before he does anything else. He offers, he gives the grass to the cow. So feeding the cows, and he considers that as his daily routine life, feeding the cows. Similarly, they will feed food to the crows. You know, on a daily basis, after they cook the food, some food is given to the birds. In the birds, the feeding the birds is considered important. Similarly, if any stray dogs walks in, they'll give them food to the dogs as well. So, how to give them food, when to give them food, all these things, there is injunction in the Shastram for that. So, and there is a reason behind it, why they should be given, when they should be given, there is a reason behind it. So, if you know all that and do it, that's the best. For example, crows have to be fed before the meal. Crows have to be fed before the meal. Grass should be fed early in the morning to the cow. Grass should be fed early in the morning. You know what it was called? The yajnam? It is called gograsam. Gograsam it is called. It is from that word grasam, the English word grasses come. See how it is connected. Gograsam is the name of that yajnam, giving grass to the cows in the morning. And from that grasam, where the English word grass has come. English word grass has come. So naturally, to make the whole life as a yajnam, that's how the rishis have structured the life for the householder. So, and similarly, one who is engaged in spiritual life, early hours morning waking up is a yajnam. Bathing early in the morning is a yajnam. And similarly, his eating food, prasadam, has to be a yajnam. His sleeping has to be a yajnam. Getting married is a yajnam. Having children is a yajnam. And bringing them up is a yajnam. So, right up to beginning to end, it's a yajnam in life. That's the way life has been structured in that way, to make it as a yajnam. So, that's why you'll see here, when referring to that, he says, Abhala kamshibhi abhalarthi bibi, yajnyo vidhi drishtaha, shastra chodana drishto, yashtavyam idi, eva idi, yajnya suruba nurvartanam, eva kairyam idi, mana samadhaya na anena purusharto, mama kartavya idi evam nishchitya, saha satyiko yajnyam uchyate. So, without caring for the results of the yajnyam, only considering the swarupam of the yajnam, based on the shastram, living like that, that yajnam is satvigam. And in other words, a person who is in sattva gunam, he thinks that a person when he is performing yajnam, he has all these things behind that. Abhilakankshibhi, not expectation of any results. And what else? That he does not have any purushartham, that means dharma, artham, kama, moksham, they are all purushartham. He doesn't want to acquire anything else, but it is fully recognizing and following the shastram. Therefore, it is yajnam. So, two things Krishna says. Satyuga yajnam is one, abhala kamkshibi, without expectation of results. Secondly, it has to be completely authorized by the shastram. If these two things are done, then that yajnam is satvigam. Krishna says it is swatigam, satvigam. So, here, garbhadhanam, so that is why you can see garbhadhanam yashtavyamevedi mana samadhayasa satvigya. Now, in the Vaidika system or in the Sanatana Dharma, right from garbhadhanam. Garbhadhanam means before all the samskaram that is performed in Sanatana Dharma. Garbhadhanam means before pregnancy, inviting the another jiva to come to the womb. From then onwards, we have pumsavanam, simandam, jatakarmam, namakaranam, chaulam, karnavedam, chaulam, upanayanam. Like this, 40 samskarams are mentioned in the shastram. 40 samskaras for the brahmanas to perform. Or minimum 16 shodasha samskaram. Highly elevated people, they would have done all the 40. But that is not possible. At least 16 of the minimum, they expect that. Short. Even that's not happening now. So, you can see, garbhadhanam, pumsavanam, simandam, jatakarmam, namakaranam, karnavedam, chaulam, upanayanam. Right up to upanayanam. This is by the age of 8. All these samskaram has to have performed. What is mentioned in the smriti for them. So, and these samskaram is there for others also, but there is a little differences in all that. So, when one has done all these samskaram, he is samskritam, he is purified, isn't it? Or he gets refined, in other words. So, here, what is he refining? Actually, what we are refining is our upadhi, isn't it? Upadhi is getting refined. Upadhi means our gross body, our subtle body. Mind, intelligence, ego, and thoughts, chittam, and our gross body. In order to purify all these things, this samskaram is, these samskarams are spoken. These samskarams are spoken. That is what is getting refined. So, what the, so, in order to purify our upadhi, what the rishis have done, before you take birth itself, they start this process, purifying you. Even before you take birth, they have started this. That means they want you to come through a path which is maximum pure. Maximum pure. They want to give you a body. Body is an instrument for self-realization. So they want to give you a body which is maximum pure, and they want to give you an instrument like that. That is why all these different samskarams are spoken. If you, for example, garbhadhanam before birth, much before birth, pumsavanam also, simandam also, then after, immediately after birth, jatakarmam, which means jatakarmam, namakaranam, karnavesam, chaulam, right up to upanayanam, by the age of 6-7 years old, these so many samskarams have already done. The idea behind that is to make your body as an instrument, a purified first-class instrument suitable for spiritual life and spiritual advancement. That is the purpose behind it, all these samskaram. So, rishis, they are trying to help us to continuously prepare ourselves for the, in order to prepare ourselves for the spiritual life. For spiritual life. Just like you can see, like a car, according to its strength, it can go faster, isn't it? Engine power, something like that. No matter how powerful the driver is, unless the car has the strength, if it is a 2-liter or 3-liter car, can speed up faster and go faster. Whereas a 1-liter car won't make it, is it not? So, upadhi is important. If the upadhi is good, then upadhi can do a lot of things. So, Krishna knows this. That's why rishis are also telling us that even if you are a very good driver, if your upadhi is not in a good shape, is not favorable, then your journey in the spiritual life is also get delayed. So, in order to make us ready for a first-class spiritual life, they have recommended all these samskaram, 40 of them mentioned, listed in the shastram for those who wants to follow that. So similarly, if the instrument, this is instrument, what is the instrument for that? If this instrument has got problems, then it will affect your performance as well, isn't it? Because those who have habituated it to eating non-vegetarian food, just because the parents have given them that kind of food, but at some point in their life, they got some salsangam and therefore they decided to give it up. That's their good fortune, is it not? That at some point, even though traditionally they ate the non-vegetarian food, some point in time in salsangam, they got the opportunity to admire the advantage of vegetarian prasadam and they changed their habits. So that's their good fortune. And it is not easy to give up those habits. It's not easy to give up that. Once you are, when you are born and you have got addicted to a certain type of food, it's not easy to give it up, is it? It's not so easy how to give it up. On the other hand, by traditionally, those who have had that habit, it's a profit for them, that they don't have to struggle in that area. Because by their birth itself, they got that tradition with them, so they can carry on with it. And if you destroy that tradition, and if you start developing wrong habits, in that is considered, Krishna is saying, it's a highly sinful thing. Highly sinful thing. Because somehow or the other, through to some good reason, we got a, somebody has got an opportunity to take to some good habits in life, and that has come by birth. But if you destroy it by your own ignorance or of shastram, then that is very sad thing. Similarly, you can see drinking coffee, tea, and other things. If you don't give it to the children from the birth, they are fortunate by that. But if they take to it and if they give it up and develop the habits of drinking coffee, tea and all other things, then it will be very difficult to come out of it again because they have developed the taste for it, isn't it? So that is a help what the parents have given to the children in their early life, by not introducing them to coffee or tea or any such thing, isn't it? So at least from that stage, not to fall back again. And so this thing is called Upadhi Shuddhi. Upadhi Shuddhi means purifying your own existence in this world. So therefore, from Garbhadhanam onwards, the first purificatory ceremony, they start this Samskaram process. They are trying to find out if there is any possibility of giving a child born in a divine consciousness. That's their purpose behind it. To give a child a birth in a divine consciousness. And so you can see how much research the rishis have done in this field. Look at that. How much research the rishis have done in this field, isn't it? They are saying that that child which is not the result of a prayer is a curse to the humanity. A child that is not born as the result of a prayer, he is a curse to the humanity. A Mahatma said like this. Because rishis are always saying that the process must begin even before the child is born. After it is born, because it lot depends on who has come, what baggage he has brought with us, with him, isn't it? So they gave importance to the child before taking birth, not after. After birth, if he has brought a lot of bad baggage with him, then it is a big endeavor to change all that. But suppose you invite a person who is already elevated in spiritual life, then everything becomes a lot easier with spiritual life for him. That's understandable, isn't it? So therefore, they gave importance who is coming first. Not who has come and then train him up later. We are all trying to do that now, who has come. We are trying to train him up. And then we are getting frustrated. Oh, he's not taking it. He's not going in the right way. He's not accepting the principles of spiritual life. He's not. What can you do? What can be done? His vasanas are with him. And that will work. That is much more force and forceful and powerful than what you are trying to give it to him from outside. So the rishis have done research on all these things. And they have found out that if first of all you invite such a person who is advanced in this path, then your life will become a lot easier. So that's what they are saying. That's it. That is why so many samskarams much before the birth. Immediately before the birth itself, so many samskaram involved in that. In the example for this is, instead of looking at our own example, you can see in Mahabharatam what has happened, isn't it? Kunti Devi gave birth to the 5 Pandavas. Who are they? Yeah. Oh, great personalities, are they not? Arjuna, Yudhishthira, Nakula, Sahadeva, Bhima. All of them great personalities. Kunti Devi, they were born out of Durvasava Maharshi's benediction to Kunti Devi. Is it not? Kunti Devi received the benediction from Durvasava. Anytime you can call, invoke them. And they will come and they will be born, isn't it? So, they were personalities who were born from the benedictions of the sage. And Kunti Devi had, including Karna, was born like that. Is it not? Was born like that. So rishis knew this technique. That is why in Mahabharatam you will see exactly opposite about the other family, Kauravas. 100 of them born, all born from a piece of flesh. Vedavyasa Maharshi cut them into pieces, put them into 100 pots, and filled water with them, and told Gandhari, wait now, in 100 days they will all come out as children. She couldn't wait and broke the pots, and eventually these 100 will come. And look at them 100, all of them same type. In doing all nonsense, they were all in it together. Did you notice that? If Duryodhana decides something, Dushasana will agree with him. Dushala sister will agree with him. All the 100 of them in total agreement to give trouble to others. Why is it like that? That mentality I am saying. Where did this coming from? That is what Krishna... They have come from cloning, from that piece of flesh, isn't it? So, none of them had any conscience in the beginning. And if somebody does a wrong thing, all others will agree with that and do the same thing. So if one person... All 100 unity in doing all the nonsense. So, from there you can see there that this samskaram of yajnam begins before the life begins, isn't it? Particularly, Krishna is saying in that verse, yajne pratishtidam, that word Krishna is used. Sarvam yajne pratishtidam. It is all situated on the yajnam. So, if grihastha ashramam, householder life, is based on yajnam, then it is possible that without too much of a misery in life, you can skip through this world. This is the advantage of performing yajnam. Krishna explains that in that chapter. If you look there, you will see that sarvam yajne pratishtidam karmam brahmolbhavam vidhi brahmam aksharam samulbhavam tasmal sarvagadam brahmam nityam yajne pratishtidam. That nityam yajne pratishtidam is a guideline for the householder to keep the life always in the track of yajnam, never to move out of yajnam. Nityam yajne pratishtidam, Krishna is saying like that. Because here is the most important thing. If you, householder life, what is the most important thing? It is relationship, is it not? Most difficult thing in the householder life is this thing called relationship, to get on with the other people in the family life. Basically, you can see householder life is nothing but relationship, isn't it? And nowadays, in the modern society, this topic is discussed very much. Which one? relationship. So much discussion going on about relationship. If you read the newspapers or questions from the subscribers, they ask questions writing, what should I do with my relationship with my girlfriend or boyfriend, or husband writing about the wife, wife writing about the husband, parents writing about the children, children writing about the parents. Everywhere this topic is discussed. And it is a big problem today in the society, is it not? I mean, you know that if you are just a little bit in touch with the world, you will know all these things, what goes on there. Actually, what you have to understand is, this thing called relationship is not a natural thing. That is the very basic thing to know. Somehow or the other, we have taken this as an absolute thing. Relationship is not a natural thing. This is a misunderstanding. Like society is not a natural thing. It is a thing you have created to bring some peace into life. Is it not? You know that. That is why we say never follow the society. Society will lead you to hell. Because that's all what society is, an adjustment between members. You don't interfere in my life, I won't interfere in life, to keep some peace within each other. That is how society has come. Similarly, relationship is also not a real thing. Why it's not a real thing is, in reality, there is only one Atma. There's only one Atma who is present in different dresses, in different places, in different bodies. The moment you start thinking, you are separate from me, I am separate from you, the moment if you have recognized that, you have accepted that, then there has to be problems. There has to be problems. You cannot avoid it. Under no circumstances, you can take it out from that. Once you have established that you are existing, I am existing separately, everyone in this world, they are separately from me, I am separate from them. And if everybody thinks like that, then is this question of relationship comes. Shastram is telling us, you are not separate. Actually, there is only one Atma who is present in everybody. Who is present in everybody. So, the moment I think that you are not separate from me, I am not separate from you, then I will do all what I can for you, for your benefit. I'll do that for you. Whereas, if I start thinking, oh, I need a relationship between us to do something for you, that means a division has come between you and me. A division has come. Then there is only one thing you can do there. Once that division has come between people, then you can do only one thing. You have to bring dharmam into it. If you have come to that stage. If you have that knowledge and realization like the jnanis have got, they do not look into others saying that they are separate from me. They ask me that who is present in them. That's very clear inside them. So therefore, they don't need a relationship business. But once you have in your inside, it is so deeply imbibed in that you are separate from me, I am separate from you, and you have registered very strongly it inside, then you will not be able to do anything good to that person unless there is dharmam inside there. Unless there is dharmam inside there. So, whether I like it or not, or whether I have any benefit from you or not, I can't take that into account. And all I am doing is, what I can do for you within my capacity, I will just do it without thinking about anything else. Any after effect or results from that. If you only make that decision inside, and only then you can live in relationship. Living in relationship is not the ideal situation. Right situation is realizing the self and seeing the self present in everyone as Atma. That is perfection. But if you are not in that state, if you are thinking that I recognize the existence of every living entity in this world and I need to have a relationship between each other, the only way you can have some peace each other is by bringing dharmam into it. By bringing dharmam into it. So, otherwise, if you say, make it a business like that, if you do something good to me, I'll do this for you, then it will always be a cross. There'll always be a cross. You will never be able to live peacefully in this world. Therefore, Krishna is saying here, this thing called relationship itself is an artificial thing. Relationship itself is an artificial thing. Relationship is an artificial thing. It's not a real thing. It is something that has happened because of our bodily identification. That's where it's originating from. It's not coming from the soul. Soul is never telling us that this is another entity, is another entity. Soul is always telling us it's me who is present inside that. Because we are not able to hear that instruction from the Atma, we are looking at others and seeing everyone as a separate from us. Everybody is separate from us. So unfortunately, the modern world is based on this thing called relationship. This is the sad side of it. So therefore, what has happened? Husband is saying that to the wife, don't involve in my affairs. It's my personal thing. Wife is telling exactly the same thing to the husband. Don't get involved with my life. I know how to manage my own affairs. Everything separate, separate, separate. It's become like that. Is it not? Is it not what you see everywhere? That nobody cannot have any relationship. How can they have any relationship when they insist on these things? So both want their privacy. Privacy. They both want their privacy. So therefore, what has happened? They make their decision when they want to make the decision. Whatever decision they want to make, they make it. Husband decides, no, I want to get another marriage. This marriage is not working. I'm having another one. He decides and he goes. She decides the same thing. She thinks that, oh, it's not working, my relationship. That's the answer. If you look at the questions, you will see this. Relationship is not working. The fact that relationship itself is a false thing. You started from the wrong basics. Is it not? And that's where the problem has started. And then you are trying to, with that problem behind, relationship problem, you are starting trying to fix it by changing it again and again and again. So many times you are changing in the marriage. Some places you can see some people, so many times they get married in life. And it says here that once a man said that when he saw one of his old wives, he said, I have seen you somewhere, she says to her. To that extent, the relationships has taken them into that. This is all because of this thing called relationship. So, and the lady also, she had the same doubt about him. So, we are also seeing that in the society happening now, isn't it? So, if you understand this, what the rishis have told us, that system that they have given us, the knowledge they have given us before entering to householder life, if you keep all these principles strongly inside, this misfortune may not happen to us. Because they have already gone in the wrong path and they are trying to find a solution. And then these people, advisors, call the, what do they call them? Not consultants, sir. Counselors, yes, that's the right word. Counselors. Lot of them nowadays. So many of them. Counselors. So many devotees think they are very qualified for counselors. Their own life is in a mess. They couldn't get their life together. This happened to them. And they are the advisors to the blind leading the blind. Advice counselors. They say, if you ask them, they say, this is what have you got to offer? He says, well, this is a suitable job for the devotee, they say. That's what they have found. It suits me, so I am doing it. Not that it suits others. It suits me. It's my interest, therefore I am doing that job. So, relationship. Relationship is not real. It's an artificial thing. There is no such thing called relationship. What exists in this creation is only Atma. Krishna is keep on repeating this, is it not? Throughout Bhagavad Gita, throughout Bhagavatam. There is nowhere Krishna has spoken about a relationship, either in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Is there? When he spoke to Uddhava or when he spoke to Arjuna, Krishna has only one thing to say. What is that? Atman, Atmana Mudharel. Atma, elevate Atma. That's the only thing. He said this to Uddhava, he said this to Arjuna. Is it not? Atman, Atmana Mudharel. Elevate the Atma. Come to the platform of the soul because yes, the soul is your identity, not the body. Relationship is based on the body, nothing else. So, after saying all these things, Krishna is saying here, in this 11th verse, if you look, Abhala Kamshibhir Yajnyo Vididrishtoye Ijyade ಎಷ್ಟವ್ಯಮೇವೇದಿ ಮನಃ ಸಮಾಧಾಯಸ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕ. ಸೊ ಸೊ ದೀಸ್ ಟು ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕನ್. ಅಬಲಾಕಾಂಕ್ಷಿಭಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಈ ಸೈಸಿಯ ಎಷ್ಟವ್ಯಮೇವೇದಿ ಅಬಲಾಕಾಂಕ್ಷಿಭಿ ಯಜ್ಞ. ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಐ ಎಮ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಇಟ್ ಆಸ್ ಎ ಯಜ್ಞಂ ವಿತ್ ದಟ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಎಸ್ ಎ ಯಜ್ಞಂ ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಡನ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್. ವೈ ಆಮ್ ಐ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್? ವೈ ಆಮ್ ಐ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿಸ್? ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಇಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟೇಕನ್ ಬರ್ತ್. ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟೇಕನ್ ಬರ್ತ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಪ್ರಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸ್ಪೋಕನ್ ದಟ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತ. ಸೊ ವೇದಂ, ದ ರಿಷೀಸ್, ಅವರ್ ಆನ್ಸೆಸ್ಟರ್ಸ್, ದೇ ಹವ್ ಆಲ್ ಸ್ಪೆಸಿಫೈಡ್ ದಿಸ್. ದೇ ಹವ್ ಆಲ್ ಸ್ಪೆಸಿಫೈಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್. ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಮೋರ್ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದಟ್. ವೇದಂ ಈಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್, ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೆ ಈಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್, ರಿಷೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಅಸ್, ಆನ್ಸೆಸ್ಟರ್ಸ್ ಹವ್ ಫಾಲೋಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ರೂಟ್ ಪಾತ್, ಐ ಆಮ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಥಿಂಗ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್. ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಮೋರ್ ಟು ಇಟ್ ದೆನ್ ದಟ್. ಸೊ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ವೆನ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಬೋರ್ನ್, ವೆನ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಬೋರ್ನ್ ಅಟ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಟೈಮ್ ದಿ ಡೆಸ್ಟಿನಿ ಆರ್ ದ ಫೇಟ್ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಪುಟ್ ಮೀ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಬಾಡಿ, ಪುಟ್ ಅ ಡ್ರೆಸ್ ಆನ್ ಟಾಪ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೀ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಪುಟ್ ಮೀ ಇನ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ಇಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಈಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದೇ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸಿಮಿಲರ್ಲಿ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಪುಟ್ ಮೀ ಥ್ರೂ ಎ ಬಾಡಿ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಪುಟ್ ಮೀ ಇನ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್, ಸಿಮಿಲರ್ಲಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಪುಟ್ ಮೀ ಥ್ರೂ ದ ಕರ್ಮ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಎಷ್ಟವ್ಯಮೇಮೇದಿ ಮನಃ. ದಟ್ ಥರ್ಡ್ ಲೈನ್ ಯು ಸಿ ದಟ್ ಅಬಲಾಕಾಂಕ್ಷಿಭಿರ್ ಯಜ್ಞೋ ವಿಧಿ ದೃಷ್ಟೋಯ ಇಜ್ಯತೆ ಎಷ್ಟವ್ಯಮೇವೇದಿ ಮನಃ. ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಎಷ್ಟವ್ಯಮೇವೇದಿ ಮನಃ, ಐ ಆಮ್ ಫೋರ್ಸ್ ಟು ಡೂ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿಸ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಆಸ್ಕ್ ದ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ ವಾಟ್ ಡು ಯು ಗೆಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿಸ್, ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ. ವಾಟ್ ಡು ಯು ಲೈಕ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿಸ್, ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ. ವೆದರ್ ಐ ಗೆಟ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಟ್, ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಇಟ್, ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಡೂ ಇಟ್ ಟುಡೇ. ಟುಡೇ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಡೂ ದ್ಯಾಟ್. ಮನಸ್ ಸಮಾಧಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಕೀಪ್ ಮೈ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಅ ಶಾಂತಿ ಪೀಸ್ಫುಲ್ ಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಡೂ ದಿಸ್ ಯಜ್ಞಂ ಟುಡೇ ಆಸ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಇಟ್ ಹಸ್ ಕಮ್ ಟು ಮೀ ಆಸ್ ಹಸ್ ಕಮ್ ಟು ಮೀ. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆಂಟ್. ಅಬಲಾಕಾಂಕ್ಷಿಭಿರ್ ಯಜ್ಞೋ ವಿಧಿ ದೃಷ್ಟೋ ಯ ಇಜ್ಯತೆ ಎಷ್ಟವ್ಯಮೇವೇತಿ ಮನಃ ಸಮಾಧಾಯ ಸ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕ. ಸೊ ಒನ್ ಹೂ ಈಸ್ ಕಂಡಕ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಯಜ್ಞಂ ಇನ್ ದಟ್ ವೇ ದಟ್ ಎಷ್ಟವ್ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಯಜ್ಞಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕಂ. ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕಂ. ದ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಎನಿ ರಿಟರ್ನ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಟ್, ಎನಿ ರಿಸಲ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಟ್. ವಿಧಿ ದೃಷ್ಟಾಯ ಇಜ್ಯತೆ ಈ ಸೈಸ್, ವಿಧಿ ದೃಷ್ಟೋಯ ಇಜ್ಯತೆ. ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಒಂದು ಔಪಾಸನಂ. ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಟೇಕ್ ಒನ್ ಯಜ್ಞಂ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಔಪಾಸನಂ, ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ದಿ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣಸ್ ಟು ಡೂ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಔಪಾಸನಂ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ನಿತ್ಯ ಕರ್ಮ ಅನುಷ್ಠಾನಂ. ಇನ್ ಯರ್ ಡೈಲಿ ಲೈಫ್ ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಡೂ ದಿಸ್ ಔಪಾಸನಂ, ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಡೂ ದಿಸ್ ಔಪಾಸನಂ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಔಪಾಸನಂ, ಇಫ್ ಯು ಆಸ್ಕ್ ದಟ್ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಟು ದಟ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅ ಸ್ಯಾಕ್ರಿಫೈಸ್ ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಮೇಕ್. ಮೆನಿ ಆಫ್ ದಮ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಏನ್ಷಿಯಂಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಫಾಲೋಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೆರಿ ರಿಜಿಡ್ಲಿ. ದೇ ಫಾಲೋಡ್ ದಟ್ ವೆನ್ ದಟ್ ಸಂಸ್ಕಾರಂ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆಡ್. ವೇಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಪ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಮಾರ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ 3-4 o'clock, ಬೈ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ದೇರ್ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಡ್ರಾಪ್ ಆಫ್ ವಾಟರ್, ಬೈ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ 3-4 o'clock ಇನ್ ದಿ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ನೂನ್. ರೈಟ್ ಥ್ರೂ ಔಟ್ ದ ಡೇ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ದೇರ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಟು 7 days, 365 days a year. They lived in that life. So, and so in order to keep them busy like that throughout the day, they have the maximum nitya karma, daily routine work. For them, they have been given the highest one. And that is why they were given certain facilities. Brahmanas were given for this reason, that they are able to make, they won't ask much from this world, very little. But their time was precious and they used their time in their nitya karmam. That so that upasanam is one of them in that which takes a long time for them to perform. Vaishvadevam, Agnihotram, there's a number of things listed for them to do everyday basis. And if you ask what for are you doing all these things, there is no answer to that. You have to be occupied. You should not go and do work in the factory or go and do some other nonsense in this world or don't watch television. You be kept busy like this. This is how all the Vaidika karma is like that. So, so when somebody asks that question, Nitya Karmam, why you are doing all these things? Like the whole purpose, why we have deity worship in the morning, Mangalarati in the morning, Japam in the morning, Guru Puja in the morning, Bhagavatam in the morning, so that you won't run at 6 o'clock to the factory to work there in the morning. To get you out of that and to get you fixed in this yajnam, in the anushtanam. Sometimes if you say ordinary life and you ask people, if you ask the husband why you are doing all these things, he will look at the wife. The wife will look at the husband. But what Krishna is saying here, that the purpose of all this is look at the prakriti and learn from that. Sahana vavatu sahano punantu sahavemam karavamahai. So very basic things Krishna is saying here, that you leave behind your adhyalpam, leave behind your jnanam, knowledge and everything. In this world, we can't live mutually, we can't live without doing anything and without helping each other. Without helping each other, we have to help others. But, and we have to inspire each other. When one person is feeling weak, the other person has to lift him. That is necessary. When person is tired, other person has to help him. So, this mutual help in the modern life is in a very dangerous way it is going, in a dangerous direction. Because nowadays, the way we live in this world, we don't even know who lives in the next door, isn't it? So isolated we have become. And sometimes you can read, sometimes people die, and nobody knew that person was dead for last week or 10 days or months together. So only when its body started smelling, the smell started coming out, we started saying, oh, something must have happened, then we go and knock at the door. Why? We insisted this privacy. Privacy. Too much privacy. This is what it will end up with. If you want all this privacy, then you won't have spiritual life. If you bring this privacy into everything, because it's all coming from this relationship, is it not? This is all false things. It has no justification under any conditions. So you can see how it ends up. It ends up like this. You won't even know when somebody is dead. You won't know next door. Only when the body starts smelling, you go finding out why, what has happened. This is what relationship leads to. Because I have no relationship with him, why should I bother? First you have to certify a relationship, you say, with people, everybody you have to have a relationship. Otherwise you can't talk about it. So, whereas Upanishad is saying, sahana vavatu sahano bhunantu, it's together everything. In these things, it's all together. Otherwise, you will become weak. Saha viryam karavamahai, that you have to inspire each other in spiritual life. You have to inspire each other in spiritual life. You shouldn't think, oh, my spiritual life is different from him. I have separate from him. No. Saha viryam karavamahai. That means you have to inspire each other spiritually. You have to inspire each other spiritually. Because in prakriti, this is what is happening. So, therefore, in the material nature, because yajnam is happening all the time, that yajnam is important. That yajnam is important. And that yajnam should come to spiritual life also. In our daily life, it should become a part of our life. Spiritually, to inspire each other. Sahaviryam karavamahai. Sahana vavatu. We have to live together. Sahanei bhunantu. And we have to eat together. And sahaviryam karavamahai. We have to inspire each other. Upanishad mantram. Om shanti shanti shantihi. So, everywhere Krishna is saying this yajnam is a part of spiritual life. It's a part of spiritual life, spiritual existence. So, and therefore, Krishna also mentions here that the annam is meant for distribution. Annam is not for piling up. Annam is meant for distribution, for everybody to share with. And vibhajanam, as Krishna calls it as, similarly wealth also, and that is yajnam. And what is necessary for one's own daily life, one can maintain that, or for the family, everything else, There are many others who need that in the prakriti. And what has to go to them, it should go to them. What has to go to them, should go to them. And knowing that, we should do that. We should have to give it to them. And as much as you give it, you will notice this. Along with that, depending on, the more you give it, your nervous system will get lighter. You will see that the baggage behind us will get lighter inside. Inside the heart, you will feel lighter. Because the reason for that is, all our attachment in this world is in this nervous system. It is in the nervous system. So there, if it becomes lighter, then you will see a heavy load has gone away from inside. Many, many great devotees, jnanis, if you look, you will see, they constantly gave everything in this world. They never took from the world. They gave it to the world rather than taking from the world. This is the way they continue. Yajnam is a big topic. There's a lot of things connected with Yajnam. And how beautifully rishis have presented it through Puranam, through Upanishads. We'll discuss it tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.